This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
I took my love, took it down. Climbed a mountain and I turned around, and I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills, till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my life?
Mm-hmm. And a congratulations to the beautiful voice here, the great talent that is Stevie Nicks, who becomes the very first woman. First woman ever to be inducted into the coveted Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice. That's right, twice. A bunch of others were inducted, will be inducted, I should say, were voted in a couple days ago. The Cure, one of my favorite bands. Def Leppard, a favorite of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. You got Radiohead, Roxy Music, The Zombies, Janet Jackson, talking about great women performers, but Nicks, the only woman to go in twice, of course, going in as a member of Fleetwood Mac. They're already in. And Stevie Nicks goes in as well for her solo work. So, and there was a time, believe it or not, I know it seems crazy now, but there was a time when men all over the world loved Stevie Nicks. Loved her. She was,
sure,
she was a sex symbol, rock and roll star. Not anymore, of course. She's like a house, but there was a time when Stevie Nicks was.
There was a time. Yeah. I mean, there was a time when people, when Gloria on All in the Family.
No, that never happened.
Was never. Considered hot.
Never.
All right, let's go with this one. Blondie.
Yes, Blondie, Deborah Harry, absolutely.
So, yeah.
But never Wheezy from the Jeffersons. Never.
You know, and that's racist, obviously.
Of course it is. By the way, I did watch the Jeffersons this weekend and with Danielle, and we came to the realization, the crashing realization, yeah, that Sherman Hemsley,
yeah,
the brilliant comedic actor.
Wheezy!
That's right. Him and Stephen A. Smith look exactly alike.
They do.
They look
exactly. I will acknowledge.
Yes. Oh, and when Stephen A. is on with Max Kellerman and he looks confused and has this kind of dopey look on his face, he could be Sherman Hemsley's brother. You got to do that. Yes. You got to go on. You got to put at Bernie and Sid on Twitter.
I am.
Do a side by side Stephen A. Smith and Sherman Hemsley. Brothers.
Sherman is like the short brother in Twins.
Yes.
Separated at birth.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. So how are you, buddy? How was your weekend?
I could be worse. Weekend was fantastic. Too fast. Very festive.
Festive? What the hell did you do?
Well, we got a Christmas tree.
Oh, that's nice.
A Christmas tree.
You
went to a party, of course.
Oh, you did go to the party.
I did. And it was a lot of fun.
Well, I'll tell you who wasn't there because I was texting him on Friday or Saturday. I forget. Friday. Because he was doing a game not with Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, but doing a game with Hubie Brown. And I loved the 1-2 punch of Mike Breen and Hubie Brown.
Yeah.
Was Breeny. So he was not at this party.
No. He was, he was doing the game with Hubie. But, he does it. He alternates with Hubie and Doris Burke.
Yeah. Yes.
And then
yes.
Later in the season, when they go to Saturday Night Hoops on ESPN,
right,
they go back to the A team of Breen, the coach, and Mark Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, he was not at the party. It was a local party. He's not one of my local homeboys.
No, he's a Manhasset guy.
Yeah, he's a ritzy dude.
He's with the Scaramucci's, the O'Reilly's, the Francesas.
That's right.
That's right.
Matter of fact, he sees O'Reilly at church a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I see him all the time.
And anyway, it was nice until I woke up the next morning with a little bit of hangover.
Really?
A little bit of, heartburn.
Really?
A little bit of tiredness.
You drank that much?
I had a good time, yeah.
All right.
We drank beer. We liked
Listen,
beer.
Every now and then, you got to let your hair down, Sidney.
Well, I don't have any
maybe
hair.
Maybe not you.
Right. I don't have any hair, and I can't let it down if I did. But I'm glad you had a good
Sorry
time.
Sorry to hear that.
That's
right. Yeah, it was good. It's all good, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's quiet. I mean, I did the Sid Sports Sunday show yesterday. That was great. It's funny coming here on a Sunday morning. There's nobody here. I mean, you got Gunzelman. You got Bruce Clayton and Isaiah, two guys.
Mm-hmm.
There is nobody here. From the time I arrive most Sundays at about 8 o'clock in the morning to when I leave, which is usually about 11:15 in the morning, the place is dead.
Everybody's at church.
No one works anyway.
No, I know.
But when I left yesterday, it was a ruckus downstairs because the Rangers hosted the Vegas Golden Knights, and it was a 12:30 face-off. So when I left downstairs, it was a sea of people and Ranger fans. Along with that, you had Giant fans in Penn Station making their way to MetLife on a brutal, cold, damp, nasty, rainy day.
I know there was a suicide story over the weekend. If there was ever a day, yesterday was that day.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was a terrible, awful, depressing, rain-pouring day. But, look, I looked at MSG last night at about, I'd say about 10:30. And I saw on TV it was starting at 10 p.m., the Rangers versus the Vegas Knights.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm going to drive in a little while. Mm. I'm like, damn, it's going to be packed. And then it dawned on me.
Yeah.
I looked at it like 3-4 times, and I didn't see that little box that said new.
Right.
And I realized that it's a replay.
They do that.
I'm like, what is it? 10 o'clock at night.
They replay the Rangers and Knicks on MSG every time they play. So.
Yes, they do. Normally, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, though. But
this one started at 12:30 in the afternoon.
See, they throw me off.
There you go.
And that's all a manifestation of me going to a party.
Right.
And the leftover substances in my body screwing me up. Confusing me.
Maybe you're just not that bright. You ever consider that?
I did.
Yeah.
And I ruled it out.
Now, late last night, early in the morning, you probably did catch the Knicks-Pacers replay. The Knicks did lose in Indiana last night.
I heard. I did not watch.
You didn't watch that?
No.
Queenie was there too, by the way.
Yeah, the Knicks, what's their record now? 8-16 or something like that?
How about like 9-23?
Some real awful. But the Nets are on a five-game winning streak.
Nets are playing great. They gave Spencer Dinwiddie, and some of this is inside basketball, I get it. But he's the other starting guard on the team, a lot of money. They blew out Atlanta yesterday. And if you are following the Nets, like Matt Meany does, because he lives right by the Barclays Center there in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow night, in an attempt to continue the win streak, this is exciting, LeBron James and the Lakers in Brooklyn.
Here they come.
Taking on the Nets.
I know. That's a big deal.
Yes.
Big Brooklyn deal. You go to the Net game, and then before you go to the Net game, you stop off at McMahon's right by the Barclays Center. You get half-tanked, and then you go over to the game. And you start yelling things at LeBron.
There you go.
I'm the best player in the world.
Well, you are.
Hey, listen.
They did get killed last night. They won big in Charlotte on Saturday. They got taken apart by the Wizards in Washington. Talking about the Lakers last night. And again, a date with the Nets in Brooklyn on Tuesday.
And Canelo Alvarez dominated. That fight went down over the weekend.
That was predictable. Everybody from Rafael, every boxing expert had Alvarez winning that fight by knockout in five rounds or less.
Yeah.
Rocky Fielding, not exactly. Well, all that fight was, Bernard, it was downstairs at the Garden. You had to get that app, Dazen, to watch the fight. All that was, they wanted Canelo to win impressively. They knew he would. So now they're setting up the rematch, Canelo Alvarez versus Floyd Mayweather. Mayweather took apart Canelo the first time. It was the only time I've ever seen Canelo fight where he was not even competitive. So now we'll see, in all likelihood, Mayweather-Alvarez 2.
Hopefully not a boring event, you know, with the usual Mayweather covering up kind of nonsense for 10, 12 rounds or whatever the hell it is. Now, they fought the last UFC fight on Fox, That's it. It goes to ESPN from now on.
Oh, wow.
But they fought, Fox Sports 1 had the prelims, and Channel 5, the big boy network, had the main event, which was a five-round championship lightweight bout. Lightweight is 155 pounds. And a local guy from Wantagh, New York, local, you know, my hood, Al Iaquinta. He beat this dude Kevin Lee. It was a thrilling fight, 5-round fight. But the biggest story, I actually saw it in the New York Post this morning. They put up this, they talked about this fight, and this particular guy happens to be from Astoria, New York. They didn't mention that fact. This guy, Jared Flash Gordon, he was fighting some Brazilian dude named Silva. I think they're all named Silva. But it seems right.
Yeah, there's lots of those Brazilian guys.
He was kicking that guy's. It was such a good fight. And then midway through the third round, the Brazilian guy hit him with a flurry, and this dude knocked out. He got knocked out standing up. He was leaning against the net, and he just got knocked out. Leaned to the side. You go to NewYorkPost.com.
I saw it.
Yeah, oh, you saw it.
It was so weird.
It was unbelievable. It was just an incredibly... I mean, they give $50,000 bonuses for the best fights of the night. They had 10 fights that night, and I'll be damned if they didn't give it to these two guys because that was one hell of a brawl. But anyway, the last fight on Fox. Then it goes to ESPN. And, well, good riddance, I guess, as Fox is saying to them.
I think so. Oh, ESPN, no, they want all the sports. It doesn't matter. They just want all of them. They want to monopolize all of it. So this is I guess bodes well for them.
It makes it a little more mainstream, maybe.
Well, yes, right? It does. 100%. 100%. Talking about mainstream big football weekend too. I love when they say in the paper the Giants' playoff dreams are shot. The Giants were 5-8 going into yesterday. They needed Jesus Christ. And I hate to use the Lord's name in vain, your Lord, I should say. But they needed him to come back and walk the earth to make the playoffs.
Right.
Even if they won their last three games. It's such a dumb narrative, but it's over anyway now. They got blown out. Eli Manning was awful. Eli was awful. I saw Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason have a nice back and forth on the NFL Today, the pregame show right before kickoff.
Right.
Phil was arguing for Eli Manning. Boomer was arguing against Eli Manning. Boomer was right. Giants fall to 5-9. They're done. Jets lost on Saturday, but big games all over the place yesterday. Eagles shocked the world. They beat the Rams last night without Carson Wentz.
Yeah, with the Super Bowl winner.
And a big game tonight in Carolina where the Panthers need to beat the Saints to stay even with the Redskins and Eagles right behind the Vikings for the last playoff spot inside the NFC. So lots going on. All the impeachment talk about Donald Trump this weekend. Beta, the new superstar for the Democrats. We have all of it. Plus,
you mean camel toe?
Yeah, that's camel toe. Yeah,
I call him camel toe.
In my opinion, the best
camel toe O'Rourke,
the best comedian out there today. And I saw him live at Radio City just a couple of months ago. Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, man.
Live on this show today. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Going to keep the phones open all day today, folks. Politics, news, sports. This is the last week of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Until 2019, we want to hear from you guys.
We want to bond with you.
Yes, we do. We'll take a short break. More of Bernie and Sid on a Monday right after these words.
You will not call me baby.
Bernie and Sid in the Morning. Bernie and Sid in the Morning. Entertainment news now.
Hello, happy Monday. I'm Juliet. The winner of the Miss Universe 2018 pageant is Catriona Gray from the Philippines. She beat out 93 other countries, delighted her home nation at last night's big awards show in Bangkok. She wore a sparkling red dress, and it was interesting because she said she chose that color because when she was 13 years old, her mother had a dream that she would win the Miss Universe pageant wearing a red dress. So congratulations to her. She actually edged out first runner-up Tamarin Green of South Africa and Stephanie Gutierrez of Venezuela. And here's a shot of her, fellas. There you go.
Congratulations.
Yes,
she deserves it.
She's very, very pretty lady.
Beautiful lady.
Aquaman hasn't even opened here, but it's already showing a lot of power in the international markets. It's already hauled in $261 million in more than 40 different markets outside of the North America area. The aquatic adventure debuts here on Friday. Meantime, Oscar statuettes rarely go on the market. Since 1951, winners have had to agree to offer them back to the Motion Picture Academy before selling them. But pre-1951 Oscars are a whole different story. And one from 1947's Gentleman's Agreement, starring Gregory Peck, has sold at auction for $492,000. That's more than twice the expected price. That wasn't close to the top price paid at the Profiles in History auction. An archive of documents on the origin and development of the Wizard of Oz went for $1.2 million. And the statuette for 1937's Mutiny on the Bounty, which I would think would get more than Gentleman's Agreement because it's older, and Mutiny on the Bounty is just, I don't know, I feel like it's more of a lasting classic. That actually got about $200,000, a little bit more than $200,000. It got about as much as it was expected to get. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
One of my favorite bands ever, led by Robert Smith, The Cure, one of the groups and acts nominated and voted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame coming up later on this year. So I want to get to this before we get to Donald Trump and the impeachment and Chuck Schumer and all that stuff yesterday. So this Facebook post I put up on Saturday, Bernie, we have Chuck Todd on every Friday.
By the way, I want to get to cockfighting in Guam.
Okay, we'll do that.
Chicken choking on the rock on Rikers Island. And the transgender in the Miss Universe.
Oh, God, I saw that, yeah. I'm so tired of talking about transgenders. Well, it doesn't interest me at all.
But to see her walking down the... we'll talk about it later.
Him.
Yeah. Him. Her.
It, well, which one is it?
Is it offensive to say him if it's a her? I mean,
well,
I don't know.
If you look at her,
yeah,
you couldn't tell it was a him.
Right. Well, we've had these conversations about the stuff on the porn sites, too.
But she's got something swinging between her legs.
Well, that's true.
Well, no, she does not.
Oh,
either that or she's hung like you, bro. I don't know. she doesn't actually. I believe she had the surgery at 16.
She did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I try to keep it real.
Here's what's odd is in the talent competition, they actually had the transgender juggling balls. That was... And at the 5 o'clock shadow was,
no, she was pretty.
They must have been rushed.
She is pretty, I should say.
The balls are not for him to touch.
She is. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't tell.
And the irony, too, also, is that it went down in, actually, the event occurred in Bangkok, Thailand.
I know, that is funny.
And
can't
where,
make it up.
That's where they have all the quote-unquote lady boys.
Yeah, that do. That's
but really otherwise, though, I'm not casting aspersions. She looked very pretty, and yeah. She had fake boobs as well.
Jim yeah. Norton would love her.
Oh, Jim
fake news.
Oh. Legs a little skinny. I mean, that's why she didn't make the top 20. I mean, who am I? But, I mean, that's what it is. It's a competition for the women, right?
I don't know. I don't watch it.
And the transgenders.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. All right. There you
I mean,
go.
You want me to be. I don't understand transgenders. I don't get it. I just, it doesn't work for me. I'm not going to sit and be politically correct like you're trying to. It doesn't work for me. It's weird.
It's weird. It's a reality. And she
it's
was
not
up
my
there.
Reality.
You know, they have one in my kids'
high
school.
If they didn't tell you last night that was a transgender, you couldn't
know. No, I wouldn't know. You're right. When I saw her or him, whatever, I thought she was a pretty lady, yes.
And all this information I have, by the way, comes from the New York Times. I'm not talking out of school.
No,
making up any fake information here.
No, it's a big story.
She says vaginal surgery not essential to being a woman. Mm. Just identifying as a woman is sufficient. And I know you're thinking that's nuts. No pun intended. But
so she's saying you don't need a vagina to be a woman,
right? Mm.
Okay.
So where were we? We were talking football.
But hold on. No, we weren't talking football. But and now to see all the bathrooms at all these restaurants and places that don't even, they don't really, whether it's a men's room or woman's room, now it's...
Neutral.
Yeah,
what's it called?
Anyone
neutral?
Can go in.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous. That's stupid.
Of course it is.
It's dangerous to young girls.
But they're everywhere, all over the Upper West Side where I live, everywhere.
Any dude can put on a woman's skirt or whatever,
right,
and just claim, hey, I'm a woman.
But
that's ridiculous.
That's the third bathroom. They have a men's room, a woman's room,
yes. Oh, yeah. Now they have, it's just one. Unisex.
Right.
Oh, no, you
right.
don't want that either. You don't want your daughter going into a room with, some animal.
Right. I mean, what if the woman's bathroom is locked, so she's going to go into the neutral bathroom?
Yes.
I mean, just, it doesn't make any
fraught
sense.
With peril.
It's nonsense. One of the things about our society today, which I'm not okay with, and if that means I'm a Neanderthal or I'm not coming along with it, that's fine. You can call me whatever you want. No, what we were talking about was how we have Chuck Todd on every Friday.
Yes.
And our listeners, a portion of them, and I don't know what the percentage is, but they go nuts. They go nuts.
Meanwhile, Chuck Todd was a great guest. He was a nice guy. We talked, you know, we talked politics, went back and forth, and the segment was over. What's the big deal?
No big deal. But they go crazy. You know, this is, he's the worst, he's biased.
They get personally offended.
Right. I don't listen to Bernie and Sid anymore. Now I'm over listening, which is funny because they go on and talk about in detail what the Chuck Todd conversation was, and then they go, I don't listen anymore.
The thing is, every week,
how stupid, you're the liars.
They say the same thing every week, that I don't listen anymore, and then they argue about the next Chuck Todd
appearance. How about Sheriff David Clark? How about Bill O'Reilly? How about Anthony Scaramucci? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, but here's what they say. See, they say those guys are good because those are your guests. They come on because you're a Trump guy. See, I get blamed for everything. So Sid is the guy that brings on Chuck Todd because he's Sid's friend. You know, Bernie just kind of complies and follows along. Now it's the Sid show. He's making the calls. He's bringing on Chuck Todd and blah, 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 blah. Right? Post after post after post. So I explain to these people, I go, listen. Just because you're a listener doesn't mean you get to call the shots. There's this misconception that because you listen to the show, your opinion matters. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter on guests. It doesn't matter on topics. It just doesn't matter. If you like the show, that's great. Keep listening. If you don't, we don't care.
They're used to hearing the customer's always right.
It's right. No, they're not customers. Right. They're not paying. You see, I said to somebody, I said, if I owned an Italian restaurant and you came in every single day and you said, screamed in front of all the patrons, hey, the food sucks and the owner's an asshole, talking about me, I'm not going to sit you down and have you dine at my restaurant. I'm going to physically throw you out of there. It's the same thing. You're not always right. We don't cater to you. We do the show. If you want to listen, great. If you don't, see ya.
And by the way, we both sign off on the, if I didn't like Chuck Todd, we wouldn't have him on.
Right. But you'd be an idiot not to like him.
If Sid doesn't feel comfortable with the guest, we don't have him on. That's the way it works.
Correct.
I like having Chuck Todd on. I think it's a good conversation. And again, we're trying to broaden the audience. There's nothing wrong with hearing from a guy. Not only is he the other side, he happens to be a host of Meet the Press.
Yeah, right.
So we have him on, and he's Sid's friend. And that's that.
If you think he's biased, you don't like him, there are two things you can do. You can be an adult about it. Just listen, because the information is good. The back and forth is good. Suck up your personal feelings and move on. Or, if you're such a baby, change the channel. Come back afterwards. But to
babies,
constantly berate. Thank you. And that's what I called them. And they got all upset. And it turned into post after post. And
this is Saturday?
This is Saturday.
Good God Almighty.
I know.
Should be just chilling.
Nope.
Nice walk in the park.
This is Radiohead. They got in the Hall of
this
Fame.
This is great. Creep. I love this song.
Yeah. But I did do something yesterday which would have made these idiots, these idiotic listeners, not even you, because you're above and beyond this, but would have made them proud. I did do something yesterday at the gym, which when I left, I made myself sick for what I did, but it would have made these listeners happy.
Well, which is it?
It's both.
Either you liked what you did or you did it. And then you had regrets afterwards?
I did.
Well, tell us.
I had buyer's remorse.
But I'm a creep.
I'll tell you what I did when we come back. Bernie and Sid on a Monday.
Nice. Nicely done.
Winner. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. In your bathroom, in your kitchen, in your brain. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Enable and open. 77 WABC.
I'm out of love. I love. Got a phone to go.
You know, this ain't studio.
I love this song. Photograph. This is the best part right here. Jump in here, bro. Come on. That's what I'm talking about.
Playing the new rock and roll.
A high-pitched Eric.
Playing the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers all day. Janet Jackson, The Cure, this group, Def Leppard. Come on, sing it. Stevie Nicks, Radiohead, Moxie Music, and the Zombies. Get to this Chuck Todd phone call in a moment. I did get a text here. I got a friend named Jamie Fialkin. This guy was my best friend back in elementary school, high school. And I did tell you, Bernie, a couple of weeks ago, he wrote this book. He's a father now, and he's about my age in his 50s. Cute book. The name of it is She's Not My Granddaughter. Sends me this text. He's up now in Arizona, where it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Is that like a... I hope that's not a book about dating.
No. No, it's a book about older men having kids. And
oh.
But he's a great dad. He says, I can't believe what I just heard. That was so funny. I swear I was so busy this weekend, but I wanted to email you so badly to tell you how much I love your show. And again, he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning, Arizona time, just to listen.
My man.
The only segment I can't stand is Chuck Todd. I was going to give you a few reasons why I still why I don't like him, but after your last segment, I guess I'll pass on that.
Well, he didn't quite pass, but
right, right.
But thank you for the feedback.
In fact, here's a call on Chuck Todd. Jimmy's in Westchester on line 5. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I've been listening since day one, and I think Chuck Todd's one of the best guests. I'm not a big MSNBC, CNN guy, but he's one of the few guys that's, like, logical, and when he comes on your show, when all your guests come on, you put them in a different atmosphere, and they're different people, you know? They really are themselves.
Well, yeah, you're not going to hear, thank you for the call, you're not going to hear Chuck Todd talk college football or NFL with Adam Schiff. It's not going to happen.
Plus, he sounds and seems much more reasonable than he would on his own particular Meet the Press show.
I'm sure. I heard the same thing down in Florida for years. He's not the same with you. So if that really is the case, Bernie, even better.
Yes, all the better. We bring out the best in Chuck Todd, I like to think.
We bring out the best in everybody. But if we didn't, it wouldn't matter. But, you know, talking about Chuck Todd and TV and Meet the Press. So here's what I do yesterday. This is so old man Jewish.
Oh, God.
Maybe I shouldn't bring it up.
Bring it up. Too late.
Does it involve bodily functions?
No.
Okay, then go ahead.
All right. So, yesterday, the majority of the football games that were played were in the 1 o'clock window. There were 9 games in the 1 o'clock window, which included the awful effort by the Giants, their shutout loss at home, first time shutout at home in 5 years by the Tennessee Titans. So, I stayed home for the 1 o'clock games, Bernie, sat on my couch and watched Red Zone and the Giants till 4 o'clock. Four o'clock, there were only 2 games yesterday, the Seahawks and 49ers and Patriots and Steelers. I knew I wanted to see New England-Pittsburgh, so I went to the gym at that time so I could watch the 1 o'clock games. And I knew in the gym they would have New England-Pittsburgh on, which they did, so I got my workout in. There's about 10 TVs at the top by the treadmill.
Like any good gym.
That should. Right. One game had Seahawks-49ers on CBS. About 2 TVs had on Patriots Steelers, and the other 6 televisions, Bernie. 6. 4 of them CNN, 2 of them MSNBC.
Well, look, you're on the Upper West Side, man. What do you expect?
It's funny you say that. So I walk downstairs. I'm about 4 sets in doing arms. Got like 16 M-Drive pills in me at this point. Giants got shut out. I'm in a pissy mood. And I walk, and I say exactly what he said. I go to the guy's desk. I go, I understand we're on the Upper West Side, but let me give you a scenario, okay? See if you can walk along with me. Is it possible? I'm getting like a lawyer. This poor kid, he's behind the desk like, what are you doing? I go, is it possible that just maybe not everybody in the Upper West Side hates Donald Trump? Is it possible? He's like, sir, you got to calm down. He goes, I happen to like Donald Trump.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I go, okay.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I go, then explain to me why there are 10 television sets upstairs and not one is on Fox News. I don't even like Fox News. That's the
why
truth.
Are you
I
yelling?
Don't. I'm sorry, Mike. He goes, well, sir, you know, we put on what the you know, what the people who come here want on. They, if you ask for Fox News, I'm sure we would put it on, but people do ask for CNN and MSNBC, which kind of quelled the whole thing, by the way. At that point, what am I supposed to say? Right. But so I walk out of the gym, I go, wait a second. I don't even like Fox News. I certainly don't love Donald Trump. Why did I just do that?
Well, there's some clear reasons why.
Okay.
You're a contentious, jacked up individual to begin with.
Okay.
And I think that's the main reason, but
Is that a compliment?
No, you're... Okay. Let me put it this way. You're full of energy. Mm-hmm. You're energetic. And when you see a wrong being done, it irks you. It bothers you. And that certainly is the case, what they were doing in that Upper West Side gym, that they do all across the country in airports and many, many other places.
That's a good point. Airports, too. You're right.
Yeah.
Only CNN and airports, not even MSNBC.
How did the TV work in the steam room?
We don't have a steam room working right now because there was an explosion in the basement there.
Yeah, there was an explosion in the steam room, too.
My balls were wet for like 4 hours.
Ay, ay, ay.
So anyway, so here's what I'm going to do today. And again, I don't even watch Fox News. I don't even care. But I'm just in the mood to be this way. I'm going back today.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to grab one of these kids and literally physically walk them upstairs.
Well, you can't do that.
Why not?
You can't touch them.
I can't touch him?
No, you get sued.
Ronnie, well, is that true?
You can't actually drag him upstairs.
Well, I mean kind of grab him by the arm. I can, like...
No, you can't touch anybody. Keep your hands off.
Not these days.
Mm. Well, I'll physically...
Well, are these pale-faced, skinny, long-haired nerds?
Not long-haired,
at the desk?
But they are pale-faced and skinny.
The guy look like, I don't know.
Like Beto.
Like Beto.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can drag him.
Yeah.
But what if he looked like, a linebacker or something? You know how a lot of these gym guys do.
You don't understand. I don't care. Like, when I'm 5 or 6 sets in and I'm all jacked up, the guy could be twice my size. I'm not intimidated. I don't care.
So you grab this guy.
Because I try to explain to you, there's 3 types of strength. There's old man strength, there's actual strength, and there's retard strength. And I think I've got all 3.
You're telling me that you would risk a fight?
Yes.
To get Fox News on in your gym?
And I don't even like Fox News. Do you understand the craziness here?
Yeah, well, believe me, I do. I only wish I could explain it further. But I think I'm under some constraints.
I just think it's unfair, that's all. What if somebody really liked Donald Trump? What if somebody crazy like you walked in and they really liked Donald Trump? Why can't you watch something nice about the guy?
Listen, I don't go to the gym to watch politics. Believe me when I tell you. And I know what the city's about. I don't get my news from the gym. I get my news elsewhere.
Either do I.
I work out.
But you would notice and
of course I would.
But you wouldn't say anything.
I wouldn't say a damn thing.
So maybe you don't love Donald Trump as much as you profess to.
No, maybe I'm as apathetic when I walk around and I don't get as triggered as a guy like you about things.
Get very upset.
Bernie never gets triggered.
Yeah, nothing bothers him.
Nothing.
No. Well, I mean, look, stuff bothers me. I'm like, I go into the steam room and I got a bunch of perverts.
Doesn't bother you.
Like they're in a cell at Rikers Island taking care of themselves. That annoys the hell out of me.
It just annoys you. But you don't get crazy.
No, I do. I go in, I turn the light on, and I got a bunch of perverts pissed off at me.
I understand.
And I ruin their whole little session.
See, that wouldn't bother me because that's what the steam room is for.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's for homosexuals to masturbate.
No, not at all.
Of course it is.
No, it's not.
What kind of freak goes into a steam room anyway? I do the sauna once in a while.
The sauna is stupid.
Steam is better than sauna.
I know it is.
Sauna is like going into a car, a locked car in the summertime.
I understand that, but Bernie uses this phrase all the time, fraught with peril. You walk into a steam room anywhere, any gym in the country, doesn't have to be Chelsea or Christopher Street, you may have to deal with that nonsense.
Then the perverts win.
Well,
I've liked the steam room since I was a teenager at the YMCA.
Oh, I know.
Up in Ghetto Square in Yonkers.
Don't have to tell me.
The steam room
since
is
you were an
shizzle.
Altar boy.
I never had that experience until I came to Manhattan.
My balls was hot.
Yeah, my balls was. Yeah. My balls wanted to be left alone.
All right.
And these steam rooms up here in this town.
Yeah.
I don't know. They think it's a social club.
Well, that's New York for you. Well, anyway, so I hope these people who are upset with me on Saturday on Facebook now are happy that I did fight for you folks, trying to get Fox News on in these ultra-liberal Upper West Side gyms, even though I honestly don't care. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Still to come, Sebastian Maniscalco, all the Sunday shows, the sports, your phone calls, hour number two of Bernie and Sid on this holiday Monday. We're coming right back.
Stop referring to me as a wrinkle-up old skunk.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Oh, my God, I like the YouTube version better, but I guess this is the original. Is that right, Matthew?
Yes. Hall of Famer, Darlene Love.
Yeah, baby, come home. Anyway, it is hour two of the Bernie and Sid on the Morning Show here on 77 WABC on this Monday morning. I had some fun in hour number one. The Facebook post I put up Saturday, which basically told the listeners, mind your own business. Talked a little football. By the way, it was baseball news, Bernie.
Yes, I know.
The New York Mets, who have done a very good job solidifying the bullpen by getting Familia back and Edwin Diaz to close, added a pretty good bat in Robinson Cano, but they wanted a big-time catcher.
And they got him.
They got him. Wilson Ramos, who last year between Philadelphia and Tampa Bay hit over 300, hit 15 home runs. They really wanted JT Realmuto from the Marlins, but the Marlins, Bernie, wanted too much. They wanted Rosario and Nimmo and all these guys.
Hey, this guy's good, but they got his
very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm satisfied.
Wilson Ramos is a Met, and the Yankees are set to talk to Manny Machado coming up on Wednesday. And I would bet the house that Machado is a Yankee by Christmas. But talking about Christmas, there's a Christmas song. This is our last week. And when you woke up this morning, Bernie, knowing for us it's only a four-day work week this week, and when we sign off at 10 o'clock Thursday morning, we're gone for basically 12 days. Does that make a difference for you on a Monday morning?
I guess it informs my outlook, yes.
It does, okay.
I think so. The week before Christmas generally is a festive, happy week. It only comes once a year. So, yes, I'm a happy guy because of Christmas, the anticipation of Christmas. I love it.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just a lot of bad things happen.
Well, you know, I am Christian.
Well, I understand.
That's
right. Congratulations.
And I have happy memories.
Okay. I'm Jewish, and I've got very happy memories of Christmas. But you do realize that bad things happen in and around Christmas.
What do you mean bad things happen?
Very bad things.
What do you mean very bad things?
Very bad things.
A lot of good things. A lot of gifts. A lot of love.
Some of that.
A lot of partying. People get together.
Sure.
A lot of babies are created.
That's true.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw some. I was walking around your office, along with the clothes. I walk around as well inside your office, and I came across this this study, Bernie. And it's a little depressing.
Oh, I saw this. This is something Jill and Matt found last week. Yes,
you're always telling me this is a great time of year.
It is.
This is as good as it gets. Christmas.
It really. I mean, you know, Senator Schumer aside, scaring the hell out of people with bugs and Christmas trees. What do you have?
Well, what did he say about bugs and Christmas trees?
He says that some Chinese insect that's going to eat your babies.
What?
Are nestled inside the Christmas trees you're buying on the street.
Did he say that?
Essentially.
What is that? Is there an issue with the trees you buy in the street?
Not as far as I can tell.
A lot of them do have bugs.
No.
Bugs?
That's why you're better off with a fake tree.
This is the new scare
fake
tactic.
Tree.
The new war on Christmas.
I got to tell you, my parents never bought a fake tree. Part of the beauty about the tree is, and I remember this vividly as a kid, when I would walk down the stairs, Quentin Road by Kings Highway in Brooklyn as a kid, I would smell, forgetting about how it looked with the lights and the garland and the
pine.
You would smell it. My parents would never, ever get a fake tree. And in the 30 years we had a tree, a big one, 12 feet, in the middle of our living room, there was never a bug, ever.
No bugs, right. In other words, even Schumer himself, you know, this is one of these deals where he goes out on Sundays because it's a slow day. He knows he's going to get in the news. And he comes up with some fakakta issue. And he gets all over. You see him on New York One. He gets all over the local news, 427. And this one was, be careful of your Christmas trees. They're going to have bugs.
Wow, that's the dumbest thing I've ever
Maybe
heard.
Maybe not a lot of yours, but some of yours might. They come from the Finger Lakes. They come from China first, and then the Finger Lakes, and then
China.
They're in New York, and then they're in your house, and then they'll eat your babies.
Come on.
It stinks in here.
Why don't you just stick with what he was doing all morning like everybody else? The you know, Donald Trump is about to get impeached. That wasn't enough.
It's a tradition with him. It's to take some, again, some marginal issue and try to, you know, I don't know, bike lanes, Christmas trees, whatever it is, and get on TV for the evening news.
Okay. Well, that's not what I was talking about. I'm going to read this to you, Bernard, and once again, you're going to try to talk me off of the ledge, okay? Christmas Eve. This echoes your sentiment. Christmas Eve is often a time to spend getting together with family, cooking a nice meal, and listening for the clop-clop of Santa's reindeer on the roof. But the normally cheerful occasion has a darker secret. Yes, folks. The greatest heart attack risk of the year. According to a new study published in the British Medical Journal on Wednesday, this from the Miami Herald, the greatest risk of heart attack occurs during the holidays and for some reason peaks at around 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve. So, wow. Kind of spits in the face of your happy time of year. More people die of heart attacks on Christmas Eve than any day of the year.
Well, allegedly, it's, according to this study, anger, anxiety, sadness, grief, stress, but... And it's at 10 o'clock at night is when you're at your most danger.
Now, why is that? It's right before midnight
mass.
Who the
hell knows?
Because you've just eaten a large meal?
Because, no, you know what? The science that you just read, it was posted in the London Medical Journal or
the
something?
The British Medical Journal,
and
yes.
It was based on a study done in Sweden. So and all these things that you laid out, it's especially among over 75, people who are over 75.
Oh, really?
Yes. So,
a lot of spouses wake up Christmas morning, they're like, I got what I wished for.
It's funny.
It could be a gift. That is true. But, look, it's ridiculous. I mean, there is a lot of stress and anxiety during the holidays, but you get over it after a couple of cups of eggnog, and everybody's happy. But if you have diabetes, which a lot of these 75-year-olds do, or heart disease already, well, then you're in trouble. What can I tell you?
Okay, but that doesn't mean then that out of nowhere young people just drop dead of heart attacks on Christmas Eve.
No, it doesn't.
Well, that's what this headline by the Miami Herald will lead you to believe.
That's what people like the Miami Herald, that's what people like Chuck Schumer do. They take minor things and they embellish them into... You know, some major issue that's be careful at 10 o'clock. You're going to die of a heart attack on Christmas Eve and miss the baby Jesus' birthday.
Now everyone's going to have heart attack watch this Christmas Eve.
Right. At 9:55.
Yeah.
Bernie, sit down. Sit down.
Relax.
Face looks
I'm
a little red.
Falling, exactly. And I can't get up.
Yes, that's the person who's susceptible to all this.
That lady.
But, you know, heart attacks occur mostly on Mondays right now. So right now as we speak, you're in danger. And the most dangerous time of the day for heart attacks on Mondays is 8 a.m.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's for normal people.
That's on the way to work.
For us,
that's
when we're up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, we probably pass the deadline already.
No, we're giving them the heart attack if they listen.
Our 8 o'clock hour.
This Sid's out of his mind.
Yeah.
I
all right.
Feel dizzy, Elvis.
Calm down. Yeah, I'm in.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. A couple of guys we got to get to. I guess this kid Pete Davidson he's on suicide watch. He's got problems. And then this other guy, this CEO of this company here in New York, I've never heard of this company. He's made millions and millions of dollars. Well, not anymore. He's dead. He killed himself
HQ
on
Trivia?
He's
out. Yeah, I never heard of it. You never played it?
No.
Oh, I play it all the time.
Or Vine, too.
I never heard of it.
It used to be big. It's not big anymore.
Right.
Never heard of it.
It had like a span of like a month that was really cool.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, the guy made a ton of money, and it didn't matter because he killed himself this
week. Well, he didn't commit suicide. It was heroin and cocaine. He OD'd.
He OD'd. That's right. Right.
Which I don't know if that doesn't help him anymore. Kind of sucks that he didn't intend to die.
Right. But he's out the house, as Bernie would say.
Bye-bye.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Sid in the morning. Entertainment news.
Juliet. I usually don't like to name call, but in this situation, I just have to make an exception. The sad and rude half-sister of Meghan Markle is calling the Duchess of Sussex sad and rude because of Meghan and Harry's Christmas card photo. I mean, of all things. It's a black and white shot, and it was taken at Windsor Castle during a fireworks celebration after their wedding reception. The happily married newlyweds, you see them standing arm in arm with their backs to the camera watching the beautiful show. It's really, really a pretty picture. Enter Meghan's awful witch, I mean half-sister Samantha, who never misses an opportunity to be an opportunist, drawing attention to herself by attacking her estranged royal sister. In a tweet over the weekend, sassy Samantha writes, "It's incredibly rude to turn your back in a Christmas photo that's meant to share warmth and good wishes with the world. Those that criticize me for pointing out the truth need to get that brown stuff off their noses." How classy. "I hear the world's smallest violin playing." In meantime, the women's dad, Thomas, also back on the TV talk show circuit, going on Piers Morgan's morning show in Britain, making a plea to the Queen herself.
I would appreciate anything she can do. I would think that she would want to resolve family problems.
The family problems mean that he hasn't seen or talked to his daughter since the royal wedding because of all the chaos that he caused prior to it. Saturday Night Live is a comedy sketch show that's made a name for itself by skewering everybody from porn stars to politicians. But at least one person isn't laughing. President Trump is calling for the courts to test the legality of making fun of him after this past Saturday's It's a Wonderful Life sketch about what the world would be like had Donald Trump not been elected, had Hillary Clinton actually won. The president tweeted, "A real scandal is the one-sided coverage hour by hour of networks like NBC and Democrat spin machines like Saturday Night Live. It is all nothing less than unfair news coverage and Democratic commercials. Should be tested in courts, can't be legal, only defame and belittle. Collusion." The Wonderful Life sketch featured Ben Stiller as Michael Cohen, Robert De Niro as Robert Mueller, Matt Damon as Brett Kavanaugh. Mr. Trump has encouraged the FCC to go after NBC's broadcast license in the past for what he says is unfair coverage. And I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Steelers drop back. Right around the first down yardage at the six. Here's Brady down the middle. And it's knocked down. Incomplete.
Oh, what an exciting ending to that game yesterday. The Steelers snapped their two-game losing streak. Brady deep in Steeler territory, incomplete on fourth down, and the Steelers hold on to win it 17-10.
On third and fourth. You really thought he was going to get it done.
I didn't. They were backed up. It was a fourth and 15. And
that's usually his M.O.
Well, don't forget, the Patriots scored a touchdown on the very first possession of the game. They did not find the end zone the rest of the way.
That's true, Cindy. You called it.
Well, if the season ended today quickly, we'll get to the Pete Davidson, Donald Trump, SNL stuff. Your four division leaders, of course, make the playoffs. In the AFC, that would be the Chiefs, Texans, Patriots, and Steelers. Your two wild card teams as of today are the Chargers and the Ravens, with teams like the Colts and Titans breathing down their throat. In the NFC, your four division leaders, the Saints, the Rams, the Bears, and the Cowboys. Your wild card teams would be the Seahawks and the Vikings, with the Eagles and Redskins breathing down their throats. All right.
Let me ask you this question. I heard this talk over the weekend. The MVP candidates, the two guys that they're talking about, it's going to be between Drew Brees and this guy Rivers from
the Chargers.
The Chargers.
Right? I think you got to throw Todd Gurley in there, the running back of the Rams. But Rivers certainly deserve it. Chargers tied with the Chiefs, 11-3, best record inside the AFC. And, of course, Drew Brees has the Saints with the best record. Don't forget, the Rams lost to the Eagles last night. So if the Saints beat the Panthers in Carolina tonight, the Saints would be the only 12-win team in the National Football League. And Drew Brees has been amazing. So those are your top two quarterbacks. And I know you're saying, where's my boy Pat Mahomes, Kansas City, right?
Well, I'm thinking that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, why not? They're 11-3, are they not?
Yes.
So, and he's been fantastic.
Amazing.
I don't know why he's not being in this conversation.
He is.
Okay, good.
I don't know if he's going to win it, but Mahomes, Rivers, Brees, Gurley, those are the guys that you got to keep in
fantastic.
There.
Fantastic.
Yes. So I want to ask you about this Trump thing. Does he have any to stand on?
I think he's just riffing. Okay. No, he's not going to sue. Nobody's going to sue. You can't sue. They're doing comedy, the satire, whatever. I mean, he's right that it is all one-sided, of course, but you can't. There's no legal recourse here. He can bitch about it, and I don't blame him, but there's no way you can sue a comedy sketch I mean, it's been going on, sketch. It's been going on for, you know, for a long time. It's going on since Jon Stewart and before. You know, that they took this leftist comedy satire. There are no conservatives in comedy. But it's gotten particularly vicious, apparently. I did not watch. Speaking of that, I understand this Pete Davidson made an appearance to introduce the band.
Yeah.
But he wasn't in any of the sketches.
He was not.
For some reason.
But before we get to Davidson, and he's got some issues, just come back to Trump for 1 second. Trump hates it. They make fun of him every weekend. He's considering this lawsuit, which Bernie just said, of course, is ridiculous.
And I don't think he's considering it. I think he was just riffing.
Right. But it wasn't that long ago that Donald Trump actually hosted SNL.
3 years ago, actually.
3 years ago. Here is President Trump when he used to like those guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump.
It's wonderful to be here. I will tell you, this is going to be something special. Many of the greats have hosted, as you know, this show. Like me in 2004. A lot of people are saying, Donald, you're the most amazing guy. You're brilliant, you're handsome, you're rich, you have everything going. The world is waiting for you to be president. So why are you hosting Saturday Night Live? Why? And the answer is, I have really nothing better to do.
That was pretty funny. He was funny then.
He was good.
He's self-deprecating. And we know that. We saw when he was roasted on Comedy Central. They tore him a new one, and he sat there, and he laughed the whole time. But, no, there's no lawsuit. No, it's not going to happen. And, by the way, they used to like him back then as well.
They did, yeah. That's over. So, now, getting to this this guy, Pete Davidson.
Pete.
He's been a member of the cast of the show for many years. Just had that very, very public love affair, which is over, with pop star Ariana Grande. But he has been diagnosed way before Grande. We were made to know that he was bipolar, had some drug issues. So he's been a mess long before Grande. But I guess it turns out, Bernie, that something he posted something this weekend that has a lot of people very nervous.
Yeah, well, he's such a mess that his hair turned white. Believe it or not, if you see some of the pictures. But look, it all started, speaking of Ariana, it started, apparently he claims he was getting some nasty attacks from her fans while he was dating her, and then it got worse afterward. Then the other day, Kanye was fighting with some dude, Drake, and she jumped in and she kind of mocked Kanye West's mental health. She asked him if he was off his meds or something like that, whatever it was. Kanye shot back, and he said, "It's no mental health is not a joke. You know, you shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. It's insensitive and it's stupid." And of course, she Pete Davidson jumped in, and he said, "Good for you, Kanye, speaking out about mental health." He says, "We need people like you, Kanye." And then he tweets out the stuff about himself committing suicide.
Well, he never said commit suicide.
No, he just says, "I really don't want to be on this earth anymore." And just remember, I told you so.
He said, "I'm a nice person. Just remember, I told you so."
Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
Quote, "I'm doing my best to stay here for you, but I actually don't know how much longer I can last."
Right.
"All I've ever tried to do was help people. Just remember, I told you so. I really don't want to be on this earth anymore."
Yeah.
That was his tweet before his Instagram post, before it was all deleted. And then, police rushed over to the SNL set. Apparently, Ariana ran down, and she apologized, by the way, to Kanye for mocking his mental health. But he got into it with her. You remember how high he was. He was so happy when he was dating her.
Yeah.
And he was bragging about it and all that stuff. And then it's been quite a letdown when she turned him away. And so it didn't help that Lorne Michaels, I guess, didn't put him in a sketch. Or maybe he wasn't mentally able to go.
Yeah, he probably wasn't able to go.
But your boy, Michael Rapaport, he actually tweeted, "Pete Davidson and Kanye must really not have homeboys for real. These are two whiny-ass, bitchin'-ass social media babies."
Yeah, I agree.
"I was drugged the f*** out, bro."
I agree with Rapaport.
And then he posted a couple of videos making fun of those two guys.
I can't stand either one of them. But no one's more sensitive when it comes to mental health, addiction. Heck, you and I have had fights about this. Depression. No one's more sensitive than me, because that's me. I've been diagnosed with it as well. But you could still be depressed, bipolar, and still be an a-hole. And in Davidson's case and in Kanye West's case, well, they're both assholes.
Davidson, most recently, he talks about bullies, but He's kind of nasty himself.
Yeah, kind of.
He mocked the one-eyed war hero Navy SEAL guy.
Dave Remember Crenshaw. That? The guy won. Crenshaw actually won the election not long after that. And Crenshaw
went on SNL.
Right.
And he gave this guy a big break by accepting the apology. Not that SNL did anything about it. Something that was planned, prepackaged and all that stuff. But anyway, just to be fair, Rappaport did apologize.
Stop apologizing, everybody.
He did.
Jeez.
In fact, he deleted
I'm sure
the videos that were mocking both Kanye and Pete Davidson. And he changed. You know, he talks like Vanilla Ice. He talks like the W word that rhymes with bigger. But in his apology, he was very, you know, was very, very English grammar proper.
They must have homeboys for real.
But then when he apologized, it was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. It was mental illness is a serious thing.
Well, listen, he hangs out all the time with all the NBA players.
Meanwhile, he's a rich white kid that grew up on the Upper East Side.
I know. White, like a red hair. You can't get whiter than Michael Rappaport. But he hangs out with all the NBA guys, so.
He makes Eminem sound like, you know, Opie from Mayberry.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Still to come, Sebastian Maniscalco, your phone calls and more. Back right after this.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
It's a different feeling when your doorbell rings today opposed to 20 years ago, right? 20 years ago, your doorbell rang. That was a happy moment in your house. It's called company. You'd be sitting there on a Thursday night watching TV. Your doorbell rang. The whole family shot off the couch. Oh, my God! Put the lights on. Somebody's here. We got people. Now your doorbell rings? It's like, what the f***? All right, your own mother's crawling across the kitchen floor.
Can't tell you how great that guy is. Saw him at Radio City Music Hall a couple of months ago with my wife and Steven Van Zandt. And I was here the next morning. I told you, he just knocked my socks off. You could have Jerry Seinfeld. You could have, who's the guy you like, the black guy? You think he's great?
Dave Chappelle.
You could have them all. This guy kills him. And I hope he's joining us in about an hour and a half.
I actually saw that particular video online. And, you know, the thing about it is we can all relate to it. It's so true.
All of his, you know, he's Italian, he's married to a Jewish girl, and his act, he does a lot of his, how his dad talks to him, Italian shtick, and how his in-laws, Jewish, talk to him. The thing about Sebastian is, which you can't appreciate on the radio, his physical comedy is outstanding. It just is.
He's got great faces.
Faces. He makes these, right. So you're not going to get that today, but I know, for example, he's going to perform next week at the BB&T. My buddy Mario Salerno and his brother Gerard going to see him. You got to go see this guy. He's absolutely amazing.
I'd go see him in a heart. I wish he was on Netflix.
Spectacular.
He is coming on Netflix.
Good.
But there's an NBC special first, which I think is what we're actually promoting.
We're promoting
today.
His MSG shows.
Oh, MSG shows. Okay. But he is, the night that I saw him in concert, they did film that for Netflix, and that'll be coming your way sometime in 2019. So, a couple of years ago, about this time of year, the exact date was December 27th, I got let go by 640 Sports down in Pompano / West Palm Beach, Florida. And that paved the way for me to come up here, Bernie, and get the dream job working with you.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
So it didn't bother me that I got axed right around Christmas, New Year's, because...
Asked you what?
See what you did there?
I know, but that's it's unbelievable. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, it didn't bother me because I knew I had something better waiting, you know.
Yes, of course.
So you already knew?
I didn't know.
Oh.
No, I was speaking to you guys. I did not know. We had done a bunch of tryout shows together. I knew Chad, in particular, really liked me.
Yeah.
Craig, I miss... but Chad did.
You're fired.
Thank you. So I knew that I had a shot, and I knew they didn't want to pay Geraldo. They didn't want to pay Geraldo. So I knew we had a shot. So that's when, in fact, when I got let go that day, I called Craig right away and I said, listen, they just let me go down in Florida. Now I've got an offer to do a morning show in West Palm Beach where I can come and work for you. Now, let me be honest. There was no offer in West Palm Beach.
Oh, you can't say you have an offer unless you do. I'd be scared to say I had an offer.
Well, that was good.
Good chess player.
You need a little leverage.
Right. And he's like, no, don't take any. Don't take anything. Let's get you back up here for one more show. Blah, blah, blah. And I got the job.
Listen, Chad's instincts were right on the money.
Right on the money.
What they were thinking about, contemplating, whatever it was.
No, Curtis and I marched into Chad's office and said, no Lupica. I don't care who's recommending it.
They talked about Keith Olbermann, too.
We said, don't listen to whoever's recommending that dumb idea.
But the point of why I brought it up was I did get let go. That was pretty amicable. December 27th, right after Christmas.
That sucks.
Right. And
I mean, thank you for that.
But it worked out for me. But, like, for example, and no names, of course, this place fired two people on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, how do you fire people around Christmas, New Year's?
I got let go in 2011, right before Christmas, the week before.
You did?
From here.
From here.
Yeah, that was, what's her name? What was her name?
Lori Cantillo.
Lori Cantillo.
Oh, who were you working for at the time?
I was doing digital because John Gambling had left. I was producing Joe and Mika, and I went into Lori. I said, I cannot work with these two. And they found me a place doing digital.
They were moving Jill all over the place.
Bye-bye!
And they fired you?
And they let me go.
Did you go to any other station, or you just kind of...
No, I chose to take 2.5 years off. I had just had a baby.
Oh, 2.5 years?
Yeah.
And who'd you come back to work with? Curtis and
Curtis
Kobe?
Curtis and
Kobe. Ah, gotcha. I chose to take 2.5 years off.
Well, I don't know. Exactly a choice.
I mean, I had a baby, so...
Oh, yeah, she had things going on. Plus, she has
two
a husband
kids and a baby.
Who was gainfully employed.
Yeah. Right.
So she had that. Yeah. To fall back.
I didn't burn any bridges, and I came back.
Luckily, right. Yes. Right.
Oh, I did see that you posted something on Facebook yesterday.
I've been here 20 years.
20 years.
Wow. Since December.
And you made that point. You didn't burn any bridges.
Right.
So, no. It just doesn't seem right.
That's because Lori Cantillo's not here any longer.
Well, she did burn the bridge.
Lori Cantillo went down to D.C., WMAL.
No, and now she's working for NASA.
Now, yeah, then she left radio altogether. But, So, yeah, but why fire people just before Christmas? It seems pretty
Merry
heartless,
Christmas.
Right? I don't get it.
And I bet they didn't see it coming.
Oh, these two people in particular, who will remain nameless, did not see it coming.
And Merry Christmas.
What? They're two of the nicest people on the 17th floor.
Yeah. They are.
It's a shame.
Now, look, nice doesn't mean you're getting the job done. I'm not telling these guys how to do their job. But
wait till after Christmas.
Right, that's my point. Like, you don't think they knew for weeks and weeks and weeks? Now, they're going to tell you, well, we got budget meeting. Whatever cockamamie nonsense
just
they're going to...
Wait. Wait 2 more weeks.
Right. Let them enjoy Christmas and New Year, then cut their freaking balls off.
Right. I agree 1,000%.
Well, I guess they didn't want them coming back after the break. Or maybe give them a chance to get a new job.
No, they didn't want them coming back, but...
Maybe, like, give them a chance.
There's no excuse. There is absolutely no excuse.
To do it.
You can't fire people.
You can work it out.
Right.
Where they don't know until after the new year.
Yeah, basically.
It's not rocket science.
It's got to be budgetary reasons why they do that.
No, it is budgetary reasons, but it just doesn't seem right.
It's not nice.
So just factor that in. Factor a few extra dollars in.
Right.
Until it's bad PR, too. I mean, we're not going to...
We won't talk about it.
Right.
We're not going to
bring it up on the air.
No. Is this mic on?
I mean, there, but for the grace of God, we could be getting a notice this week, too.
Oh, yes, we can.
No, listen.
Bye-bye.
I'm sure they had really good reasons.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. They always do.
Now that I think about it, they had solid reasons. And those two people, by the way, they weren't really that nice.
Bastards. Never liked them.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah.
They were poisoned on the 17th floor.
I got to tell you, the more we think about it, what a brilliant move by our management.
Yes. Yeah. Terrific.
We like that.
And they shouldn't stop there.
You know what I say to these two? Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out.
Oh, that's terrible.
But like my beautiful wife Danielle says, that's the thing. GMs always lay off people at all these businesses after the holidays. After the holidays, not before. So it seems... Yeah, it seems weird. I don't know.
Seems rough.
You're fired? You're fired.
Yeah.
This is the business we have chosen.
You know, my wife says that. What do you mean the business we've chosen?
It's in The Godfather.
Oh, okay.
It just sounded good.
I know, but were you going to be a neurosurgeon?
I was going to be a teacher.
Yeah, what happened?
I was up here meeting a friend for drinks, helping her out, and they hired me. That's what happened.
What were you going to teach? What class?
If you were going to teach English.
You know, listen, and I'll tell you what, that's not that far-fetched. Because I do know some teachers. And I'm like, really?
They say axe.
They do.
Use. Yeah.
But here, look, this is Jesse J saying, it's all about the money, baby.
All about the money. Well, we wish those two people well. They are nice
people. We really do.
We're sorry it went down that way, but...
And they could come back. Just don't burn the bridges.
There you go.
Go home to mommy.
But as Bernie often says, better than us. So
that's right.
Every beginning has an ending.
That's right.
We're in love tonight. It's all about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money. We just want to make the world dance. Forget about the price tag. Green and baba. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Green and baba. Ba-bang, ba-bang. Want to make the world dance. Forget about the price tag.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Christmas time. Yes, it is Christmas time, so hope you don't have a heart attack or get fired. Those are the two things we talked about today.
Or contemplate suicide.
Oh, that's true.
We don't want that.
All right, you're right about that. Well, we've done a whole bunch today, right? The NFL, what an exciting week. 15 ends tonight. Huge playoff implications in Carolina. Saints have a chance with the Rams losing to the Eagles last night to have the top record in the conference. And the Panthers must win to kind of stay alive in that playoff race, behind Minnesota with the Redskins and Eagles. So very exciting football weekend. The Mets get their catcher in Wilson Ramos. Yankees set to talk to Manny Machado on Wednesday. The Brooklyn Nets, red hot, winners of five in a row. They welcome LeBron James and the Lakers to Brooklyn coming up tomorrow night. Donald Trump, all the talk yesterday in the Sunday morning shows was impeachment. That seems to be, I don't know, it seems to be when, not if, right?
Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, maybe cooler heads will prevail. Oof. Obviously, it's not going to go anywhere.
No, but I don't see cooler heads prevailing. It may not go anywhere, but...
Right, but maybe cooler heads will prevail in that they'll realize, they'll hearken back to the late 90s with Bill Clinton, and they'll see that this might be counterproductive.
No chance. That would mean they're rational... minded thinking people. They're not that.
That's so. Why I say cooler heads, but they're going to impeach him? Go ahead. Find something. Get something to impeach him on.
Rudy Giuliani said over his dead body, will Donald Trump talk to Robert Mueller? So I was just thinking, I love Rudy, but if he had a heart attack and died tomorrow, what would that mean?
Then he followed up with saying, but then again, I might be dead.
Yeah. Right.
That's exactly what he said.
We have that cut.
We have that?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, play it. Here's Rudy Giuliani.
Hold on a second.
Yeah,
special counsel doesn't want to interview the president.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. After what they did to Flynn, the way they trapped him into perjury, and no sentence for him, 14 days for Papadopoulos, I did better on traffic violations than they did with Papadopoulos.
So when you say good luck, you're saying no way, no interview.
They're a joke over my dead body, but, you know, I could be dead.
There you go. Could be dead. So that would... kind of ruin the whole thing.
And the good news is, though, I know you don't like these peripheral people going down at the expense because of Donald Trump.
Right.
This Flynn case may be falling apart, as I talked to Chuck Todd about on Friday morning. It seems like they actually, Comey, Stroke, and McCabe, the three disgraced FBI people, they were responsible for perhaps entrapping General Flynn. And the judge is aware of it, and he's pissed off, and he got some transcripts. He got some documents from those people on Friday. Anyway, we'll find out tomorrow if he throws the case out. He's not going to get any jail time anyway, but we'll see tomorrow if he throws the case out.
Sebastian Maniscalco will be here at 9:40, not in studio. Some of the sales guys are like, oh, my God. No, he'll be on the phone. So at least not today, but he may come in before the Netflix special.
That's right.
Before his MSG show, January 19th.
Okay, thank you. So listen, what I ask you is every year when I was a kid, this time of year, Christmas, New Year's, every year, and Easter too, by the way, Easter/Passover, my mom and dad, Harvey and Naomi, would throw me and Lizzie, my baby sister, in the car. And maybe even when my older sisters and I was much younger, I don't remember that, right, Sherry and Alana. But I certainly remember me and my baby sister, Lizzie, mom and dad. And we go to Florida every year this time.
All the Jewish kids went to Florida in my neighborhood.
Always. And we would stay, Bernie, on Collins Avenue. And they had something called Motel Row, right? They had the Thunderbird.
What do you mean, in Miami?
In Miami.
Right. Collins Avenue, Miami. Okay.
Collins Avenue, they had, not down by the water where it gets fancy, like the Fontainebleau.
In other words, it was
the
like
Delano.
A Best Western, Motel 6 kind of deal.
Those types of things. They were a little fancier. They were the Thunderbird, the Attaché. But yeah, basically, they were talking about bugs in your Christmas tree.
You would have flying cockroaches.
100% true.
Yeah.
But it was on the water, and Collins Avenue was big. Now, as it turned out, my parents got smart. They said, wait, we're going down all the, you know, five times a year. And they eventually bought a place in Hallandale, and that turned into them being in Aventura now. But we would go down every year this time of year and stay on College Avenue in Miami. I got to think a large portion of our listening audience, Bernard, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, did the same thing, and specifically College Avenue in Miami. But if not, but you did vacation every year this time of year, we want to hear where you went. So I asked Jill. I said, hey, did your family vacation, Bernie, this time of year, same place, kind of a ritual, you know, a tradition? And for some reason, and this is what makes Jill the best producer ever, for some reason, it evoked memories of her mother receiving conilingus.
Missy.
Oh, yeah, that very infamous story.
Because it was around this time of year.
That she regaled us with back in our midday show.
Santa came through the chimney, and then Santa came through.
This is Jill's memories of Christmas. Is her mom spread-eagled on the floor, and some stranger having dinner.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't a stranger. It was her married boyfriend.
Oh, God. How old were you at the time?
10.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay. She was making these noises.
Yeah, noises, sure.
What's wrong with mommy?
Well,
but that was in New York. That wasn't on one of your travel.
Right, no. We didn't do the Florida. I was raised by a single mom.
You were going to Florida. And
you were going down south, and my mom was.
Yeah, so was the boyfriend. There's some line there.
But you didn't do the travel thing because, you came from basically a broken home, right?
Yeah, I was from a broken home, kind of poor, so.
And what about your father? You don't.
Oh, we don't really speak.
Don't talk about the father.
No, it's fine.
Don't talk about him?
I'm fine.
No.
A lot of people need therapy and stuff like that. My parents got divorced when I was six, and I'm fine.
See, she's got a good ass. She wears a good psychological.
I went to visit him every weekend in Queens. Grew up in Queens on the weekends, and then
what was it? Rikers?
That was actually a really bad section of Richmond Hill.
Oh, really?
But then he wasn't even around. He was working, so my stepmom, who was great. And my half brothers and sister.
So you don't talk to him anymore, ever?
No.
When was the last time you actually spoke to him?
He texts me sometimes saying, when can I come over?
But, to the house?
Yeah.
And you just ignore him?
No, I say soon.
Soon.
But he, you know what it is? He fought my mother against paying child support.
Right.
For my brother and I don't forget it.
Ah.
So it'll always be soon. It'll never be tomorrow, next. It'll always be soon.
I did invite him over for Jack's 13th birthday.
It's not a very warm relationship.
No, we were never close.
Yeah,
and it never will be because of the child support.
Yeah, no, it's
right. He didn't even care if we came to visit him.
Oh, that's sad.
No,
sorry
about
that.
It's fine. Yeah. My mom's my best friend. So,
Bernie, what about you? I can't imagine growing up in the projects in the Bronx.
Well, my mom wasn't spread eagle on the floor in the projects underneath the mistletoe.
Right.
Oh boy. You know, well, whatever. No, listen, we stayed home. We live. We grew up in the projects. We never went to Disney. We never went to Florida. What are you kidding me? We were lucky, to pay for the groceries. My father was a bus driver with four kids living in the projects. So, and we were kids. We're looking out the window in the projects, looking for Santa's sleigh.
Wow,
believe it or not.
Yeah, I believe it.
I mean, we didn't know any better, but no, we didn't go anywhere.
Never went anywhere.
Stayed home. And always had Christmas at home.
Sid, don't you feel like you missed out being in New York around the holidays?
No, not at all. No, we sometimes we would leave. No, don't forget. My parents had the biggest Christmas Eve party anywhere in New York.
Okay.
250 people.
So you do it after.
We would celebrate Christmas morning, the 25th.
And then leave after.
And the 26th, we would leave.
I was always jealous.
But a lot
of
people would say that it's weird, Christmas and palm trees and warm weather.
I hated it.
Yeah.
It was the only time of year living in Florida for 16 years of 21 that I found depressing.
You want to be back in New York.
Correct. Oddly enough, that was the only time I was upset with the warmth and the palm trees was Christmas.
Yeah.
Maddie, I can't imagine you traveled either, right? You also come from a broken home and all kinds of issues.
Get out of here.
I'm sorry.
No, I didn't travel either, though, you know.
Why not?
There was, we didn't have, the money. I grew up in a blue-collar family, and we just, enjoyed our company
Yeah,
it's at home.
It's a family occasion. Yeah. It's not a vacation type.
No, but
of
after Christmas, in between Christmas and New Year's, there's no holiday.
True. I would go to like to Jersey to my aunt's house. You know, to.
But again, like he said, blue collar. I'm blue collar. We don't have the money for that kind of thing. We didn't have that luxury.
Yeah. I didn't go to Disney World until I was like 15 years old.
Really?
It was traumatizing. Not traumatizing, but it's like, where the hell were you? Like, why, you know, but I couldn't get mad at my parents. I, you know, you understand, but sure. I would have loved to have gone when I was younger.
Listen,
but
I never went, didn't even realize it was a thing.
Really?
I swear to God, never realized Disney was a big deal to a lot of people, to suburban kids.
But you were familiar with Mickey Mouse and all that stuff.
I mean, on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, one Easter we went to Radio City Music Hall to see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, that's a big Dick Van Dyke?
And it was like a big deal.
That is a big deal.
We're going to the city, baby. We're going to the city. Took the subway, and it was a, you know, huge deal. That was the extent of the travel that we did.
We've had our kids in Florida for a couple of years around Christmas, and each time they said, "Can we just stay home for Christmas and then go to Florida after?"
Right, after Christmas Day, you go.
Yeah, my in-laws.
Once you get to the 26th or 27th, there's no reason to be here. No reason to be here. Then you come back if you want for New Year's Eve because it's fun in the city. But I never felt bad about not being here for New Year's. It was just Christmas.
Yeah,
that I missed.
I like the season, but I can appreciate a day or two after Christmas,
see ya.
Flocking to Puerto Rico or something like that.
See ya. In fact, New Year's Eve, for all the pub that New York gets, and they're already out there, they brought the number 19 to Times Square last week. They made a big deal about it, and they're amping up security, and you know, the world watches. There is no place I'd rather not be than New York City. I mean, New Year's Eve in New York City is just a scourge.
Yeah, it's horrendous. No New Yorker goes to Times Square in New York City.
No
New Yorker whatsoever. This year, I happen to be doing something different. I'm traveling by myself.
Really?
I'm going to Bangkok, Thailand. I'm going to check out the Lady Boys.
Yeah.
And just try something new.
Well, speaking after the story.
Speaking of Jingle Balls.
Yeah. After this, what was that story you started with today that was a... Oh, the... Was it the transgender Miss Universe?
Oh, that's right. Yes. That's right. That's what inspired me. It took place in Bangkok, Thailand last night with Steve Harvey.
Bangkok.
And I said, you know what?
My balls was hot.
That's on my bucket list, baby. That's happening this year.
Hey, listen, all you need to know is that the one person a lot of you guys and girls out there love and revere, and Bernie does as well, he goes to Florida every year this time of year. Donald Trump.
That's right.
Florida.
Mar-a-Lago.
That's right.
That's his go-to Christmas place.
Absolutely. Beautiful place, man. Beautiful.
Hey, listen, when you're a billionaire like him.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, you could afford to go there now. You don't have to be a billionaire to go to West Palm Beach, but yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Well, yeah. Now I could go anywhere I want, I guess.
Right.
But I'm quite content staying home.
Okay. All right.
Unless the Bangkok thing works out.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. You guys batting down the hatches for Christmas at home, or you guys getting ready to hit the airport and get the up out of New York City for the holidays? We'll talk to you right after these words.
Beautiful, what's your heart?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
the
roar.
Really
beautiful, please don't hurry. Put some records on while I pour.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Happy Monday, everyone. Beth Israel Medical Center in New Jersey has finished a major operation. The patient, Harvey Weinstein, at least his name, like something out of a sci-fi movie, the Harvey and Georgina Weinstein National Heart and Lung Transplant Center has been erased from memory. The estranged couple had reportedly raised $500,000 for the center after, after a friend needed to get a transplant. Page Six now reporting, no one at the center seems to know what happened. The name has been wiped away. All traces of Harvey Weinstein have been wiped away. But back in 2012, there was a big celebrity-studded reception for the center, for the Harvey and Georgina Weinstein National Heart and Lung Transplant Center, including Bradley Cooper showing up there. But again, no record of it. And speaking of, one of the women suing Weinstein claims that the disgraced producer bragged that he'd slept with Jennifer Lawrence while he actually was sexually assaulting this woman. The plaintiff, known in court papers as Jane Doe, claims that he forced oral sex on her as she was sobbing. He told her, "I slept with Jennifer Lawrence, and look where she is. She just won an Oscar." No response from Lawrence. And Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, a superhero at the box office this weekend. It raked in $35 million during its first 3 days of release. Clint Eastwood's first acting job since 2012 comes in second. The Mule, making $17 million. The crime drama based on a real-life story about an old man who gets caught smuggling drugs for a cartel. It also stars Bradley Cooper and Lawrence Fishburne. I'm Juliette. That's entertainment.
Hi, it's Ron DuGay. I'm going to see Bernie and Sid. Can't wait to see Sid. He's telling me he's going to kick my ass. Really? Really, Sid?
Who's that?
Ron DuGay.
Oh, Ronnie Dukes.
I love Ron DuGay.
Stevie Nicks, only woman ever inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice now. Both with Fleetwood Mac and her solo work as well. Congratulations to Stevie. How to take some of these calls if you guys ever traveled this time of year like I did as a kid. Here's Morgan in Riverdale. We love that place, Bernie and I. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning, guys. So you guys are talking about traveling as a kid, specifically to Florida, Miami, Collins Avenue. Fondest memories I have growing up, my grandfather used to run a travel business. And twice a year, every year, I would spend in Miami Beach on Collins Avenue at one of the hotels that he would rent out, sometimes two or three at a time. The Montmartre, the Sans Souci, I think the biggest one was like the Eden Rock.
Yes, yes. Eden Rock is still there by the Fountain Blue and Delano. Those are the fancy ones. But Motel Row was like, the Marco Polo was a big fancy place. And you had the...
Yeah, we went there.
You went there. And then you had the place that had the great rib, the Newport. But otherwise, you had a bunch of like little places, a Colonial Inn, the, well, I forget all the names.
Morgan was living large, apparently.
He was living
you
large.
Were, unlike yourself.
Morgan. Living large. I was being tagged along, but we were lucky enough to get some of the best rooms where we were because my grandfather was renting out like the whole hotel.
Did you miss Christmas in New York while you were down there, like Sydney?
Never.
All right. Thank you, Morgan. Screw it. Here's Grace. Grace is in Rockland County on line 5. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning. Listen, Bernie, I was from the Bronx also, but of course I'm 71, and we used to go down to downtown. We never went to the city. We went downtown. And my because 71, you didn't have money.
What do you mean downtown?
We didn't call it, we go into the city. My cousin from Brooklyn used to say, we're going to the city, I'll meet you in the city. But from the Bronx, we used to say, oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 of course, yeah, we were going downtown. We lived in the city, yes.
You know, so I say, we're going downtown. And as a big thing, my grandfather took us to Radio City Musical, and if you got there before 12 o'clock, it was 90 cents. Who had money to go? I mean, we had family stuff, which was beautiful. Well, you know, all my cousins, my grandma, my grandpa, but who had money? Now it's different.
Well, if your dad was doing any stick-ups, if he cared about you, he'd get some damn money.
Oh, no, don't say that. My father was the best.
No, mine too. I kid you, Grace. Listen, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, that's what we did, us blue-collar people. We went down into the city and, you know, once in a while we went to Radio City. You went to a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of people these days.
We thought it was the best thing in the world.
Well, it wasn't. A lot of people these days go to Aruba.
It was better than Miami on Christmas.
No, it's not. No, no, we didn't go Christmas. We had the biggest Christmas Eve party in New York anywhere.
You said New Year's Eve.
Well, New Year's Eve was much better in Miami than New York. Yes.
You said Christmas Day you were miserable.
When I moved there for good, when I was a kid, we would celebrate Christmas Eve here, have the big party, open the gifts Christmas Day, and leave the 26th or 27th. But you're right, as an adult, when I moved there with Danielle and had the kids, I did hate this time of year down in Florida. I hated it. But that's okay. It was like 2 days. The rest of the year is lovely down there. Here is Frank in Brooklyn. Good morning, Frank, on line 1.
Hey, guys. I just called to offer my services, just in case any kids are listening. You know, I have 4 grown children. I spoke to you a few times. I grew up and went to the same schools as you, Sid.
Right.
Hung out at Kings Highway, all that stuff. Anyway, just in case any children are listening, I'm an official helper for over 20 years of Santa Claus at North Pole, and I heard you going to the hospital. I wanted to offer that if you need somebody to go as an official representative of Santa Claus with you know, I have an official suit and everything. I would be glad to take the day off and do that for you, Sid.
Okay, well, thank you, Frank. Stay on hold and we'll get you the info. That is coming up this Wednesday. I'll be at Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn, the pediatric center, and handing out toys and spending the holiday with some ailing children. So very nice of you, Frank, to offer that.
Yeah, it's never going to happen, Frank.
No, it's not.
Sorry.
It's, no. How do you become an official Santa anyway? Like, how does that be? How does that happen?
You have to be able to say ho, ho, ho. And that's it.
You have to get fat and be unemployed for a long time.
Is that how it works?
I guess.
I mean, do you go down to like Gerolamo Street or something and get like a diploma or a certificate? Or
I'm sure there's a test you could take online.
Got to be, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be a lot of pedophiles that apply for that job.
Well, that's what Bernie always says.
Your antenna has to be up when it comes to people like that.
Right.
And don't force your kid to sit on Santa's lap if he doesn't want to.
You know, in this day and age, when it comes to anything with kids, any occupation, you know, whether it's coaching, teaching, priesthood, Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Sadly, your antenna has to be up because these animals, they find a way.
Well, you know, we played Maniscalco's little piece before, and Sebastian will join us next hour. And he's right. When you were a kid, the doorbell rang. You're like, oh, look. Yeah,
come in.
And now
cake.
It's like, oh, my God, who's here? They're coming up. Yeah. Same thing with Santa. I couldn't wait. We always went to the mall, Kings Plaza, Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn every year. Yes, Sidney Rosenberg, doesn't get much more Jewish than that, took a picture with my sister Elizabeth on Santa's lap every year. And I would never put my kids on Santa's lap, even at Boca Town Center Mall in Boca. I don't care where it is. I would never do it. No, things have changed, man.
Sometimes the kids want to go. I mean, I might have done it a couple of times, but my daughter got freaked out by it.
She did?
Yeah, she didn't want to do it.
Did he do something bad?
No, I don't want to go on Santa's.
Most kids
I guess she was. She had a premonition, or she was very, very
astute.
Yeah, she had a lot of,
Stay
insight.
Woke.
I mean, Santa's...
She woke up.
And plus, Santa Claus is usually... he hates the job, whoever it is. Even if he's not a pedophile, he just hates the job. He took it because it's seasonal. He's out of work. He puts on a beard, and he's got to sit there.
Are you making Santa out to be mean?
I mean, a lot of these guys.
The real Santa's great.
The real Santa's the best.
Yeah.
But the other guys...
Don't worry, guys.
You ever see? You ever see the? You ever see the movie Miracle on 34th Street?
No. Of course, Natalie Wood.
Right. Well, there's a real Kris Kringle, right?
You're right.
But there are other guys who are pretenders.
Uh huh. And those guys are drunk and angry.
They're drunks, and they're angry. And they're only taking a job for like 2 weeks, and they hate the kids.
They're drunks.
But the real Santas, of course, are the most tender, loving Santas in the world.
What do you mean the real Santa? So how many real Santas?
Well, there's one.
There's only one. Yeah. So it's a real Santa, not Santas. Right?
Yeah. You know,
Every other Santa, every mall across America this week, they're all a bunch of drunken, angry, child-hating pedophiles.
Don't make the mistake of saying all.
Well, give me a percentage. Give me a percentage.
Anywhere from the 30 to 7. What do I know? Take a poll? It's just, I would assume.
Oh, it's so depressing.
You know,
really
these kids sit on your lap.
Yeah.
And they ask you for everything under the moon that you're never going to get.
Right.
You know, I want Red Dead Redemption 2 for Christmas. Oh, ho, ho. Yes, Sonny, I'll get that for you. No, don't worry. Looking at the parents shaking their head. No.
Not going to happen, Santa.
And, the kid is sitting on the guy's bottle of blackberry brandy.
They're bringing drugs.
What's the matter with you?
Somebody's doing the raping.
This is not good. This is not the way we want to be talking about Christmas on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show.
No. The real Santa Claus.
He's a great guy.
He's the man.
How old is he now? I'm just curious.
He's got to be a few hundred years old, easily. 6, 7, 8.
That's even older than Imus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not by a lot, though.
Nobody even knows where I am.
Nobody's looking. On the Bernie and Sid show.
Bernard's head. Look how his head shines.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
No, I want an official red undercover knife. Should you want to get ready, my leg rifle?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
A Christmas Story, followed by, yes, a little more Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks, inducted Only Woman Twice into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a great song, great song. Here is Anthony. He is in New Jersey, and he's on line 6 today. Good morning, Anthony.
Hello?
Hi, Anthony.
What up, Ant?
All right, so
usually I call up and I play devil's advocate, but I was in Short Hills Mall this weekend. I'm waiting online with my wife, and we're getting ready to go see Santa Claus. And I said, we're sitting online for the stupid thing. I got my 24-month-old nephew, and I said, this guy's probably a pedophile. So he heard me, and he goes, Santa Claus actually heard me when I got him close. And he goes, hey, bud. I said, yeah. He goes, I'm a retired plumber. And I really, for the first time, I really felt bad, but no one hates a pedophile more than me. I'm just saying that. Every once in a while, you get a nice guy trying to do a good thing out there.
Sure,
you know?
Absolutely.
That's a good point. But listen, Anthony, can you, you know, not talk so loud next time?
I mean, how did the guy hear you?
Yeah, really.
Just my personality, guys.
Yeah. Well, we love you because of that.
Yeah,
so
that's
thank
cool.
you, Anthony.
Thank you for that little tale, yeah. Anthony.
Is there a mall by you where they have a Santa out in Long Beach? I got a nice mall.
Well, it wouldn't be Long Beach. It would be the Roosevelt Mall.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, Roosevelt Field Mall. Yeah, they have.
So Howard Stern grew up. Right there by that mall.
No,
right?
No, he grew up in.
No, that's not right. No,
he grew up
no.
in Roosevelt, Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Which is about halfway between the mall and where I live.
Okay, all right.
But it's right along the Meadowbrook Parkway. He makes it out to be like, you know, Bed-Stuy or whatever. I mean, it's not a great place.
But it's not that bad.
I mean, you know, it was. Right. I mean, you know, they had houses, you know what I mean?
Right.
They had private houses.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't a picnic, but take it easy.
You don't seem like me. I would, not often, and I'm sure Danielle's going to yell at me on my text, but it's true. There were days we would go to the mall down in Florida, Boca Town Center Mall, Glades Road, very, very nice mall, beautiful mall. All the great stores, Saks, Nordstrom's, Bloomingdale's, all in there, very fancy, great, you know, food court. All these, any store you want, the fanciest stores on the planet are in that mall in Boca Raton. And we would walk around the mall all day. Go to California Pizza Kitchen, get some, whatever it is.
Right.
And I actually enjoyed, like, to me, you don't seem like that type of guy. Like, you're not a mall walker. Like, you got to, you hate that.
Well, mall walking has become a phenomenon for old people.
Is that right?
To get exercise in the winter.
Really?
That's a fact. They actually go to the mall early in the day when most people are at work,
yeah.
And they walk, and it's like exercise, and they enjoy it. That there are actually mall walkers like that. But I enjoy going to the mall. I don't like shopping necessarily, but I like people watching.
You do.
I like, you know, checking different things out. I hate waiting in line. I hate shopping.
Me too.
And
I love shopping.
And I hate the traffic.
I hate
well,
that.
You're like one of the girls on Sex and the City.
Basically.
When it comes to shopping.
Yeah. I know.
You're like, you come back, you know, with paper bags.
That's ridiculous.
Well, what's the name of that store in the corner with the gift cards?
H&M.
Love H&M.
Zig's like, because there were bags, you know, and he's, you know, he's got his little ripped skinny jeans on the knees.
Okay.
But whatever. So yeah, you like that. I like the mall again, just to look, walk around. But I hate the traffic getting in and getting out.
Well, this is going to surprise you, but the mall makes me angry.
You're kidding. You get angry?
Shut up.
You seem so even keel.
Stop.
Never.
No, I'll tell you exactly what pisses me off about people in the mall. I used to work with a guy named Eric Lengel. You know Eric, Bernie. He was my board op producer. This guy had more muscles than anyone I've ever known. This guy is a beast. A beast. When you look at him, he's like the Incredible Hulk.
Naturally?
No, he's cheating. Of course not. He's got a steroid for me. Anyway, long story short, he would walk in the mall with his dog, and the dog's name is Fluffy.
Well, let's stop right there. That's a mistake.
Well, hold on a second. Not only would he be a mistake, but he walked the dog in the mall. You ready for this? He would put the dog in a baby stroller. This was it's still very popular.
I've seen that.
Very popular in Boca. All these ritzy people walking in the mall with their dogs, an Epping dog in a baby stroller. What is that?
Well, that's their baby. I see it on the streets of the city here.
No dogs, I'm sorry.
What are you nuts?
What kind of malls do they have down in Boca that they allow freaking dogs in?
Every mall does. They walk them in baby strollers. But in Boca, it's a very, very popular.
I've never seen a dog at the mall.
When was the last time you walked in the mall?
Last year.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you don't see them. They're in the baby stroller. They don't walk with the dog on a leash, so you wouldn't even know it.
They're only allowed in a baby stroller, but not on a leash.
I believe, I guess. I've never seen a dog on a leash
unless
in a mall.
Unless they're service dogs, then they can be on a leash.
Right, but I've seen them in baby strollers.
I just cannot believe.
If you saw a guy with a dog and a baby stroller, that wouldn't piss you off?
No, it would make me laugh. It's a freaky, give me a break.
Yeah, well, but you wouldn't get angry.
I mean, angry if the dog was barking and trying to lunge at me, yeah.
Right, right.
But if it just passed by,
you wouldn't.
I would snicker. I mean, I don't know.
Ah, it's just,
now, you got to contain your temper.
I mean, dogs are not—they're not people. It's
yes,
not your.
They are
no,
people.
They're not. It's not
well,
your baby. It's not your son
baby.
Or your daughter.
Yes,
stop.
No.
Stop getting offended and angry at every little damn thing.
I got a buddy who used to show me. Go. I'd show pictures of Ava and Gabe. He'd show me a picture of his dog. Here's my
love
kid.
It. I love it.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I got two puppies at home right now
they're
that I absolutely am in love with.
So you show those when they say, "Hey, let me see pictures of your kids." You show your dogs.
No, I don't do that.
Okay, well, that's go. Going over the line.
Bernie shows me pictures of his dogs a lot, and I like to see them.
And they are the most adorable things.
Oh, listen, I love dogs, too. I've had them my whole life.
You don't really
they're
like
not,
them as much.
No, they're not human beings. And people who equate dogs to human beings
were.
Are retards.
But a lot of
but
human people, beings are jerks.
But people will
what?
Dogs
it,
are much better than humans.
Oh, when a dog that bites off the pit bull that bites off the kid's
well,
arm.
Forget the pit bull. But if you're walking in a mall and you see a dog in a carriage, you become infuriated.
I get crazy.
Well, I mean, that's you got to look in the mirror, pal.
Well, I got upset yesterday when Fox News wasn't on in the gym.
I would laugh.
You would laugh.
Oh. Okay. that dude that supplied you with that started the story off. I mean, he's responsible for all this.
Yes, he is.
This rage.
Yes.
You, Sid, you need to practice like yoga or Zen.
Well, I'm a very fun, lighthearted,
yes,
funny
you're
guy.
Fun.
But little things tend to piss me off.
Yeah.
Don't walk in the mall. Don't put your dog, it's not a human being, in a baby stroller.
I'd rather.
And they put bows on it. They dress this stupid thing.
Listen,
they
I'd
got
rather
boots on it.
Dogs and humans. Humans are, I can't even say. But dogs
that's
never.
That's beside the point. We know the way you feel about animals.
So
that's a different
it's just too much.
Conversation for
it's too much. Right. Not for here. Maybe the psych ward at Bellevue.
What if the dog has to take a leak?
He pees in the baby stroller.
Yeah.
In the diaper. You're right. You probably have very expensive diapers. I can't believe you haven't seen this. This is a big thing today.
It's got to be a Florida thing.
No,
Florida's out of its mind. You know, Florida's full of psychos.
Yeah, and guess where they all moved for Florida from? Long Island. It's basically Boca's basically Long Island on steroids. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's it. We're expunging the nuts. They're going down to your hood in Palm Beach.
Matt, you ever seen
Boca.
This? You ever see these people?
No, you kidding me? I see it almost every day in my neighborhood.
You see people with dogs and baby strollers, right?
Yes. Little dogs, little guys.
Little dogs, yeah.
My mother walks the chihuahuas in a baby stroller.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Look.
But what about these?
One of them has a bad little rump.
What about the mall?
Right, what if they can't walk?
Do they go to the mall?
Gomez can't walk, really.
Gomez needs a stroller.
Yeah, Cheeto's okay, but Gomez needs one.
Yeah, the mother takes the dog to the mall. Juliet's mother.
She doesn't.
She doesn't take them to the mall. Well, I mean, she...
Thank you.
Well, she would. It's not that she wouldn't. It's just that she never goes to the mall.
In fact, my dogs are listening right now. Max and Mia.
Shout out to Max and Mia.
I love you. I love you, too. And Carol.
Oh, Max and Mia.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. 77 WABC. And streaming at WABCradio.com.
Hall of Famers. So when Donald Trump lays by the pool in 2 weeks down in West Palm Beach and Palm Beach and Mar-a-Lago, is he laying out there, Bernie, with like vegetables over his eyes? You know, they do that sometimes.
Well, you see.
Cucumbers, yeah.
I mean, cucumbers.
Clearly he covers up his eyes. I mean, every picture you see him in, after he gets a tan, the eyes are white.
I know.
I mean, it's clear.
No, because he wears the glasses.
The goggles, and
yes.
So I would imagine he does the same thing in the sun. I don't know about cucumbers, but maybe a couple of silver half dollars. Or silver dollars. I don't know. You know, he's Donald Trump.
I just remember Warren Beatty, and it may have been the movie Bugsy, when he played Bugsy Siegel laying by the pool with, like, cucumbers and, like, tons of oil all over his body.
Now, wait a second. You're
people fanning him.
You're a Florida guy.
Yeah.
You're a guy that goes for artificial. You know what? Just as an aside.
Yeah.
It's funny. We were talking about Ariana Grande earlier. Her latest video, she puts on, does a fake tan.
Mm-hmm.
And she was accused of cultural appropriation. They said it was like wearing blackface.
Oh, stop.
So.
Just
as an aside, that's how sick it's gotten. But. So anyway, you are a Florida guy. You go to tanning salons in the city in New York during the winter and in the summer. You're out there on the beach or whatever. But back when you were in Florida,
yeah,
what did you put on your eyes?
Nothing. I don't have any white.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Which is dangerous because you should really wear.
But it doesn't matter. It's all about today, right?
Correct, correct.
It's all about the here and now.
That's right.
So if you go blind, you get blind eye cancer in 10 years.
Whatever.
At least as long as I look good now.
It looks stupid when you're all, you know, red or orange, whatever Trump is, and these white under his eyes.
It does look stupid.
Yeah. Right. So just, if you're going to do it, just do it.
It's funny. That'll be the next thing they'll be accusing Trump of getting this tan. He's wearing blackface. That son of a bitch. He's appropriating our culture.
What kind of bathing suit? Does Trump wear the bathing suit like the Hawaiian one? I wear those, like the long one, like the
given his choice, druthers, yeah. He would wear, there's no doubt he'd wear a Speedo.
No chance. Stop. No, he's too fat. You know, he's too old.
But he doesn't care. I mean, but now.
But he's got people around him.
I know, but he, you know, once if he wasn't president, I'll bet you he'd be strutting around in a Speedo thinking.
I say no
thinking
way.
He looks good.
I say no way.
Nobody
way.
Looks good in a Speedo.
Nobody. But I mean, but some people look better than other people.
Some people are deluded. And they think, hey, check this out, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you think Trump's deluded?
Well, I think he thinks he looks better than he does.
Okay.
I think he thinks that hair looks good. I mean, look, it's probably better than being bald for him. He's got a big fat head. I don't know.
True.
He's wearing the Billabong bathing suit. He's got the, you know, the red, the blue, all the colors on the side of it. There's no question about
it. Yeah, now, there's no way he's going to strut around and let some paparazzi, you know, take a picture.
Yeah, no chance.
Freaking Speedo.
Now, Melania, she goes bikini or one piece in Mar-a-Lago?
That was Meanie and...
It was me. I didn't realize I have the mic
she
on.
Would go, she would go two-piece.
Okay.
Yeah, because she wants to get a tan.
Now, if you're Secret Service and you're laying and you're at the pool with Trump and it's outdoors, Palm Beach, do you have to wear those suits and all that? Are you allowed to wear bathing suits and T-shirts? And
I don't know what the rules are.
All right.
I'm sure if it was Trump, he'd say let them wear what they want. But I'm sure they have rules. You know, they gotta be professional.
Okay.
Maybe take the jacket off.
All right.
Yeah, where would they put their gun?
Right. That's a good point. You're right.
Well, I know where they'd put it.
Yeah, me too. They'd be happy to see you.
Check this out. He's strutting around.
Oh man.
Like you know, a pre-op transgender.
I will say this. People used to see Trump all the time, all and around Palm Beach. You know, he'd go down there vacation. And now every time he goes down, and I was down there last year when he got there, it's hours and hours of the traffic story because of all the people he brings and the Secret Service, and people in Palm Beach are constantly bitching about the traffic.
Sure.
When Trump arrives.
Oh, as we do in New York when the presidents come here.
Right. Good point.
Hate it.
Yeah.
The UN thing in September, but even when the presidents come, they block the streets. It's when Bill Clinton used to come, we called it Scumlock. Listen to Jill. When Bill Clinton used to come, yeah, Monica. Yeah. You know, sometimes it just too easy.
Does Trump go down to Clematis shopping and put the dog in a stroller?
Go down to what?
It's a famous street in Palm Beach. Can you see Donald Trump walking?
He doesn't shop.
He doesn't shop ever? Really? He's got nice suits. And who does all that for him?
He does it. He's fitted in his own joint.
Okay.
And they're brought to him. He doesn't go out and shop.
No chance. You're not going to catch Donald Trump at Joseph Abood's.
No.
No chance?
Nor would I imagine he would enjoy it if he could.
All right. Jeffrey is in Delray Beach talking about the beach and nice weather. He's on line one. Good morning, Jeff.
Guys, how are you? Nice to hear you. Every morning I put you guys on. It's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
You know, I like it all. You guys are great.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, they got a lot of yentas with the little yenta dogs because the dogs act just like the owners, some of them. Because they're like, and I used to do service calls, right? I work on a golf course now, so I work at a 5-star golf course in Delray. But I love my Mishpukas. They're the best there because they're my membership.
Right.
But saying that, I live in the area, and, man, I can tell you, Boca Mall, good. It's like every fifth person, maybe, has a little stroller or a little, I see, like, the little baby carriers, but they have the dog in them.
Thank you.
Like, they carry on the body. And the dog looks like, a, you know, a little dolled up, a little, but...
Well, what is?
They're not nice dogs. They're not. They're like, I mean, you go in there, they look at you, they like, ah, who are you? Like they, yeah.
The dogs have attitudes just like the owners. Like the owners do. But Jeff, I mean, otherwise, I mean, why would it? Who cares if they put a dog in the stroller?
It's just very bougie. It's annoying. Thank you, Jeff. It's just that your dog doesn't belong in a stroller. Strollers for human beings. Your dog is not. I love the dog. I love my dog. It's not a human being. Stop.
Listen, I've never done it.
When I go to a restaurant, by the way, when I go to a diner in Manhattan, and I used to go to a diner on 8th Avenue, excuse me, on the West Side Highway, Bernie, and a terrific place, Empire, one of those, and somebody is sitting next to me with their dogs on a leash eating and drinking out of the bowl as I'm eating my food, I don't want that either.
I wouldn't want it either, and I wouldn't want these emotional support pets on planes. I would absolutely be furious if there was a dog sitting next to me, or a pet ferret, or a freaking a macaw, or whatever it is. Eric from New Jersey is on the Bernie and Sid show. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, how's it going, Bernie? I just want to say I used to be a lifeguard at Trump National in Bedminster, New Jersey. And
is that right?
Yeah,
that's right. And this was before he was president. And I could say that on the weekends he would come in, sometimes fly in by helicopter. And him and Melania would go around the pool. They'd be fully, you know, fully in golf garb, so to speak.
Right. And it was golfed out.
Right.
Garb. It's very rare to see Melania in a bathing suit.
Really?
One time she did. It was not a two piece. It was a one piece, and she was with Barron. I don't know how much time they spend at the pool now. So.
Right,
They must have a private area for sunning themselves if they want to do that.
Well, Melania never goes in the sun. Not with she's skinned. She's a model. You can tell she's pale. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But Trump, I think he just fake bakes. I don't think he does the actual sun stuff.
Because
he's always wearing. Every time I see him on TV, to Eric's point, he's always wearing a collared shirt and a pair of, you know, really geeky golf shorts.
Who knows, though? Maybe he goes au naturel in a private spot.
Maybe.
It's a little embarrassing.
Yeah. If you haven't had breakfast yet, I just put you on a diet plan. Yeah.
Michael is in New Jersey on line 5. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, Bernie. Hi, Sid. I love your show. Listen, I was taking a flight. A jet flew down to Florida. I'm waiting to board. And this woman comes out of the plane, an older woman. She's prepping a dog for her baby stroller. But what killed me is that the dog had a therapy, you know, like a support dog vest on, you know. So not only is she in the stroller, but she's doing what Bernie talked about. She's sitting on a plane with this therapy dog. And I don't know, a lot of the flights, I see more therapy dogs than ever. I think it's a scam.
And they let them out of the cage. I mean, they can sit in the seat, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
That's no good, because if your food comes, and then the dog naturally senses your foot. He's going to be annoying.
And from what I know about this, Michael and Bernie, which is not all that much, but I think I did read something just a couple of days ago, you don't need to be really screwed up to have a therapy dog. Like, you could be depressed for a day.
Anybody.
And you get it. Right.
If you're willing to pay for a ticket.
That's it.
I'm depressed about security taking an hour. I need a therapy dog going through security.
Yeah.
Well, what airport is that? Which one's worse, Kennedy or LaGuardia?
No, this was Newark.
Oh, Newark. Okay.
Yeah.
My therapy is...
Thank you, Michael.
Valium or Xanax. Forget a freaking four-legged animal that stinks and is going to... It's going to fart and you know, sniff your food and your crotch and all of that stuff. Get that thing out of here.
Wow. No, listen.
Is this, a zoo? I'm trying to fly.
I am tired of people taking dogs to people places. They just don't belong there.
Totally agree.
It's... Love my dog...
A restaurant, no good.
No.
You got food. Dogs,
right.
They're not going to behave.
Get them out.
Get them out.
And then you see these morons feeding their dog like human food, you know. Got one hand, with the right hand, they're feeding themselves. The left hand, they got scraps of feeding the damn dog.
That's always good.
I do that.
Well, it's just the dumbest thing ever.
I do it.
Yeah, but your dog is going to get sick. It's going to get fat. You keep feeding him that kind of crap. He'll always want more. The dog food won't taste as good to him as the human food.
No.
You're spoiling. I mean, it's in its best interest not to give it to him.
My buddy Frank Briscoe checks, and he's got that wonderful restaurant, Patricia's, in Homedale, New Jersey, one of the great Italian restaurants in the Tri-State area. He says, Sid, if anybody needs a therapy dog, it's you.
You need a bull mastiff, for God's sakes. Oh, man.
Oh,
I sound like the dog whisperer here with all this dog knowledge. What the hell do I know? On the Bernie and Sid Show, Sebastian Maniscalco. He's coming up in about 15 minutes on the Bernie and Sid Show. The great comedian, Sebastian Maniscalco. I'm looking forward to it. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Hello, happy Monday. If your visit to New York City isn't complete without a celebrity sighting, I have the answer to your crisis. Marie's Crisis Cafe. It's a West Village piano bar that draws everyone from Broadway superstars to British royals. In fact, last week, there was a holiday bash there. It drew Jake Gyllenhaal, Jessica Chastain, and even Britain's Princess Beatrice, who reportedly sang a song from the Broadway smash Hamilton called You'll Be Back. One guest pointing out it was mind-blowing to see a royal rocking the tune in the first place, but even more crazy because the tune is sung by the King George character, King George III character, who happens to be Beatrice's great-great-great-great-great-great ancestor. Of course, that was a private party, but I've heard it's a regular hit-up for lots of stars, including Jimmy Fallon and Cuba Gooding Jr. And Kate Hudson is one of the most beautiful stars on the planet, but even she struggles with weight. In fact, her struggles are going public. She announced over the weekend that she is the new Weight Watchers ambassador. The star joined the program a couple months ago after giving birth to her third child. And finally, the drama for New Jersey Shore stars JWoww and her estranged husband got ugly Friday. Cops hauled Roger Matthews out of the family's home after JWoww got a restraining order against him. She says it was over Matthews filming her without her consent. She apparently waited until late Thursday night when Matthews went to bed to get in touch with police, claiming that he was harassing her. Matthews, for his part, says, yeah, he did record his wife on his phone because his attorney told him to do so. Suggestion, use the money from your reality show to get a hotel room. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Oh, Whitesnakes. Now, for the $64,000, Bernard McGurk, the great Bernard McGurk.
Well, you make me blush, but continue, please.
What former actress, model, O.J. Simpson girlfriend, dressed all in red, was on the roof of the car in this video?
Roof of the car, O.J.'s girlfriend.
She was for a little while.
Dressed all in red.
She was also, I believe, married to former Major League Baseball pitcher Chuck Finley and made the news when she had a fight with her husband and beat his ass with her shoes. And he was a Major League Baseball All-Star pitcher.
Yeah, okay. Betty Davis.
Betty Davis, is that right, Jill?
That is not right.
You know the answer, Jill?
Of course.
Does she have a fat ass? Absolutely.
Oh, she did. Calm down, Donnie.
You want me to say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tawny Kitaen.
Very good, Tawny Kitaen.
That's right. Now I remember the name.
Good. Great video, great song. Tawny Kitaen was in this. Hey, by the way, later on tonight, you really want to get depressed?
Not really.
My friend Lynn got it. Way to go. Good job. You know, no, listen. Tonight, because I just saw our good buddy David Muir, a guest of Kelly Ripa, who you begrudgingly watch every night now, and I think you actually kind of like him, but you wouldn't admit that in public, of course.
Well, I watch the news to keep informed.
But
I
don't necessarily like David. Watch it. You don't like David. You don't like.
Well, listen, I don't like bias. And it's clear they have it. I don't want to get into that, but he seems like a nice guy otherwise.
He has nice hair.
That's right. He's young. He's a pretty boy. And yeah. He reads the teleprompter nicely.
He's better than Lester Holt or that doofus Glor on CBS, no?
He's much better.
Okay, good.
Much better than the guy in CBS, that's for sure.
That guy's terrible.
Lester Holt's not bad.
He's okay. He's the most biased of the three, though.
I said bias aside.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I watch these things. I'll even read the New York Times sometimes, but I'm cognizant of the bias, and I read through it. I understand it, and in fact, it makes me laugh and reinforces my opinion that they are biased.
Right. Not fair enough. But tonight, if you really want to just admire yourself in morbid curiosity and just be sad, Jimmy Assface Kimmel and Robin, okay, great, Roberts.
Okay, great.
Oh, God. So tired of all of them. Okay, we'll do the great In Memoriam special And talk about all the people that died last year.
Oh, Christ.
That's tonight at 10 o'clock on ABC.
Who the hell would watch that?
Well, you want memories of Burt Reynolds, maybe? You know?
Not from those two.
Aretha Franklin, Imus?
Nobody knows where I am.
I will fire your ass.
You know,
unfortunately.
You know, you laugh about that. But if God forbid, I do mean God forbid, Imus passed away, God forbid, he would make those shows.
He would make it. He would make the list of in memoriams.
He'd be on TV for sure.
Controversial radio shock jock,
and they'll play the Rutgers thing.
Don Imus,
right? They'll play the Rutgers thing, and they'll
show him. Yeah, that's very interesting. What will happen when he passes? How will the news cover it?
He'll be. Oh, they're going to bring up Rutgers.
Yeah, but would it be a leading story? Would it be? It would be 20 minutes in.
No, not 20 minutes. It would be one of the top two or three stories.
Really?
Yes. Listen. Again, if that kid didn't go berserk on the campus at Virginia Tech and kill all those young kids the week after, we're all still working at FAN and MSNBC. I'm convinced. But on a slow news week, from Media Matters to Jesse Jackson to Al Sharpton, that Imus story in 2007 was huge.
Believe you telling me?
Oh, I know. Me too. Oh, I know.
Every single night it led the newscast, but it was 24/7 on cable. It led the three nightly newscast.
Oh yeah,
and the biggest knot, of course, that I ever had in my stomach was that period.
I know.
I remember it so well. I had people calling me and emailing me, all trying to get me on their stupid shows. I mean, they wouldn't leave me alone. They were parked outside my home.
I was in Florida. Awful. I was part of it. I brought it up. The conversation, and I ended the conversation. But I was in Florida, so I didn't get all the heavy stuff. If I was here, I would have gotten the same thing. Every article that was written post Rutgers had me and you in it. One paragraph on Imus is what he had said, and then what we had said in every single article. We mentioned every single one. But when you go to the video, what people don't realize is I had moved to Miami in 2005, and I was done with the Imus show. And he brought in fat Chris Carlin, who's now at FAN, to replace me. Well, he hated Carlin, hated his guts.
Yeah, it was mutual.
Right. So when Carlin went on his honeymoon, I guess he said, hey, let's bring Sid in. Let's get Sid back.
Right.
And I crushed it, loved it. He loved it. And he was ready to bring me back. But more and more, I was hosting a midday show in South Florida. So my mornings were open. I would go in very, very early and do the sports from the Miami radio station for you guys.
Right. And you were on with us during... segment.
So when you go to the video and you see Imus talking, at the very bottom of the screen in big letters, it says, on the phone, Sid Rosenberg, $7.90 the ticket. And I'm watching like Barbara Walters. I'm watching Oprah.
I know, everything.
Everything.
Unbelievable. So I had all these people, GMA, to the Today Show, CBS This Morning, all of them calling me up. All of them trying to get in touch with me. All of them looking to sandbag my ass, by the way.
Of course.
Like I wasn't aware of that.
Well, Spike Lee killed you and I specifically.
I don't care. I don't give a rat's ass.
Two guys that killed you and I specifically were Spike Lee and Michael Wilbon.
Well, I mean, come on. A couple of racists themselves. But I'm not, you know, I mean, I don't want to look back. I don't care. All I'm saying is, do I remember it? And was it that, like, I mean, for some reason, it was like Pearl Harbor. It was like 9/11 all over again.
Slow news week. So
unbelievable.
So to answer your question, if God forbid he does pass away, it's going to be a big story. Big. He would make the show tonight with Kimmel and Roberts, and they may even say something not so nice. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, we got to take a break because the best comedian out there today, Sebastian Maniscalco, live.
What a conversation. What if Imus died? What's going to happen when Imus dies? That's a terrible conversation, Sidney.
No, it's actually very interesting. We'll talk to Sebastian right after these words.
Oh, God, Bernie, you're fired.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Doing the green thing, God bless you. I've tried. It's just not for me. I got friends that brag about how green they are. You go to their house, they're like, look at the light bulbs in my kitchen. I'm saving 53%. On my electricity bill, because I got green light bulbs. I go, yeah? I can't see you.
Well, you guys would remember how I was when I came in the next day after seeing Sebastian Maniscalco a couple of months ago at Radio City Music Hall with my beautiful wife, Danielle, and Steven Van Zandt and the great Dr. Jimmy Orsini. All sat there with Tony Danza, laughed our asses off. I'm telling you, he's the best comic around today. I said it then. I'm not saying it now because he's on hold. He is on hold, though, as Bernie and I come to you live from the NJDiet.com studios. Dr. T and his family love Sebastian Maniscalco. Sebastian has four big shows coming up from Madison Square Garden, two on January 19th and two on January 20th. He's got a Showtime comedy special coming out. The Beacon Theater shows. He's got a book out, Stay Hungry. And again, he's the best comic out there today, live from Los Angeles. Welcome for the first time to the Bernie and Sid Show, Sebastian Maniscalco.
What's up? Thanks for having me on. I didn't know you were at the Radio City show, and I didn't know you knew Dr. Orsini.
He actually took me. It was a great night. This is Sid, Sebastian. Dr. Orsini and his wife Marie took me, Stephen Van Zandt and his wife, me and my wife, two other couples, to a great Italian restaurant by the Garden. Then we went to see you, and that was the night you did that show, Sebastian. That's going to be the Netflix special.
Yeah. So the show you were at, I think we recorded, and we're going to have that air January 15th on Netflix. So really proud of that. And then we're coming to the Garden January 19th and 20th. And, New York's always been an unbelievable market for me, but I never thought that I would do four Madison Square Garden shows.
No, believe me, as consumers, we would think that you would do it for sure because you are hilarious. I agree with Sid. You're the best guy out there today. And a lot of your comedy, Sebastian Maniscalco, is based on your family. You come from an Italian immigrant family, Arlington, Illinois, but it's done with really with love. I mean, there's no bitterness.
No, yeah, and I think that's what the people that are gravitating towards is kind of this crazy upbringing I've had. Not crazy, it's just talking about my father who was born and raised in Sicily and kind of brought those values and morals from the old country here to the United States, and I poke fun of it, and you're right, in a loving way. It's not at all like, oh, I grew up with this insane father. It's more like, hey, this is my upbringing. Did you have something similar to this?
Right.
And
yep.
I'm noticing a lot of people are gravitating towards that shared experience. And you don't have to be Italian to get it. You could be Spanish, Greek, or what have you. It's just kind of having that overbearing father that I think people are really gravitating
towards. Right, and you can't go wrong playing to a crowd in New York City, coming from an Italian family, married to a Jewish woman. Sebastian, you've covered it all, baby. You're good to go.
Right, yeah. I got the Italians. I got the Jews. What more do you need? My wife, her being Jewish and coming from a family of means also kind of relates towards people. I come from a working middle class, and there's a lot of differences, and I poked the fun at those differences, and it's been great, and we're really having a good time.
But you worked your ass off to get to where you are today, Sebastian Maniscalco. I mean, you moved to L.A. at 24. You were waiting tables for a long time and doing short bits for barely any pay at the Comedy Store out there in L.A. But now, like Sid said, you're the best guy out there.
Well, yeah, you know, it's one of these things in today's day and age where you know, people just expect to get whatever they get through just being entitled. It's not the case here. And I've always been a strong proponent of, you know, you have to work hard and no one's going to give you anything. You just got to work for it. And you're right. I worked at the Four Seasons Hotel in Beverly Hills, and I worked there for 7 years while I kind of broke into the comedy game. And, you know, I've been doing this 20 years, and
wow.
it's been a long time. So, yeah, a lot of hard work, a lot of patience, and family support, too. My family was 100% behind me when I moved out here from Chicago in 1998, and although my father is my biggest fan and my biggest critic, I mean, he'll come to the show with a legal pad and start writing notes going, what are you doing up there? I go, Dad, this ain't Little League, you know? It's like,
that's funny.
Go to his website, SebastianLive.com. That's SebastianLive.com. For tickets, again, two shows, January 19th and two more, January 20th at Madison Square Garden. Yes, he's made it, Radio City and Madison Square Garden. One of the and people who have seen you know this, but folks that haven't, not only is your dialogue very funny, what you say is very funny, Sebastian, but your physical comedy is just through the roof. I mean, the way the faces you make, the way you move across the stage, you'll dance a little bit in some of your stuff on stage. Your physical comedy, now that's something you got to work on. You got to like look in the mirror, right, and do that type of stuff.
Well, that just kind of came over time. I never sought out to be some type of physical comedian where I was flopping all over the stage. However, the more and more I did stand-up comedy, more and more that came out. A big influence on me was John Ritter. I used to watch Three's Company like it was game tape and watch John Ritter, the way he would move and his facial expressions and what have you, and that gradually kind of came out on stage. And I noticed people were really gravitating, not to what I was saying, but also how I was saying it and how I was conveying the message. And in this day and age, you know, to stand up there and behind a microphone and do comedy with the distractions people are going through, I felt I got to give them more of a show. I mean, you basically got to light yourself on fire nowadays for people to pay attention.
Sure.
You know? So, yeah, the physical, the verbal, it's everything. It's all in one, and I try to give people a show when they come out.
The hilarious comedian Sebastian Maniscalco on the Bernie and Sid Show on WABC Radio. Look, you mentioned a comedian, John Ritter, a physical comedian, but you also met Jerry Seinfeld early in your career. And then, ironically, just recently you did his big show, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I mean, you came a long way from the first time you met him.
Well, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, you're right, I did the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I actually just filmed another one in New York City with him where we're bouncing around New York in Vespas. So that's going to air next year. So, yeah, Jerry's always been very, very supportive and a nice guy to know professionally and personally. I mean, he's been through it all, stand-up, TV shows, and just a funny guy to hang with. So, yeah, I mean, the things that are happening in my career, I would have never kind of thought. I came out here in 1998 just to solely do stand-up comedy for a living. I didn't come out to, you know, play Madison Square Garden four times, although that's very nice. But I'm bouncing around California and New York City with Jerry Seinfeld doing his TV show, something I never thought
would.
Amazing. It is amazing. How old is your baby now? How old is the child?
She's 19 months.
Wow.
And we got another one coming. We got a little
boy. Oh, mazel tov. Congratulations. Yeah, that's a great part of your shtick, too, when you do the whole baby thing. So I know you're busy. You got the baby at home. You're doing all these shows. But, like Bernie brought up Jerry Seinfeld, he had a very successful TV show. Kevin James, pretty good stand-up comic. Not in your league, by the way, but pretty good. He had King of Queens, very successful. So when do we get to the point where Sebastian Maniscalco, outside of Netflix and Showtime, ends up on, I don't know, Tuesday nights on Channel 7? Roseanne's gone.
Yeah, you know what? I tried to do a TV show, and Tony Danza played my father, and we did a pilot for NBC. It never got picked up, but to be honest with you, I really, really enjoy touring, and when it comes to acting, I like the movies opposed to a TV show. Not to say I will never do a TV show, but right now I just like touring and then popping up in some movies. There's a movie out right now that's getting a lot of heat called The Green Book that I'm in. And I like doing dramas, to be honest with you. Although this is a drama and a comedy, and I offer some comedic relief, I really enjoy kind of popping in on these dramas and getting my acting fixed that
Listen,
way. A TV show, I don't know.
No. I hope you don't, because your stand-up is just so terrific. You do bits on, I don't know, Answering the Door, Jury Duty, but still, circling back, the funniest stuff you do is when you talk about your family, particularly your father, how he was the man when you were growing up, and you were, you know, like, not afraid of him, but somewhat intimidated by him.
Yeah, I mean, there was never any physical harm done to me as a child, but it was the fear of something like that breaking out at any minute. You know, it was it was really true. And my mother was like, "Wait till your father gets home." I'm like, "Oh God," because my father, as manly as this guy is a beautician. So he's a hairdresser, but he's like the most manly man you would ever want to meet, and then like he's doing perms, right? So like he'd come home with hair dye on his fingers yelling at me. So it was like you didn't want to really piss him off, just because the guy was working, you know, 15 hours a day, and then the last thing he would want to do is come home and have to deal with my sister and I. So Yeah, there's so much material in my father. And my mother's even getting upset that she's not in
right.
there. She's like, where am I at? And
sure.
I go, Ma, let me exhaust Dad, then I'll get to you.
Well, here's how things have changed. And you're right, you talk about wait till Dad gets home. These days, it's when we're not sure when Dad's coming home, but when he gets home, you're in big trouble.
Right.
Anyway, two shows, and you can use that. That's fine. Two on January 19th, two on January 20th. You really are an incredible act. Bernie and I are both huge, huge. Huge, huge fans. And if you want to throw us two tickets, we'll come see you. That's up to you, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
The Stay Hungry Tour.
Yes.
Again, January 19th, January 22, two shows each night. Sebastian Maniscalco on the Bernie and Sid Show. We thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
And wish you all a lot.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you guys. Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me on. Right. And we'll see you in New York City.
We love you. We actually do the show right upstairs from Madison Square Garden, so we can take the elevator down and meet you. Take for lunch, whatever you want.
On the Bernie and Sid Show. Thank you, Sebastian.
Yeah, we'll hang out.
We're coming right back, folks.
Keep fun.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Boy!
77 WABC and streaming at WABCradio.com.